Black Bear Diner's year-long 25th anniversary celebration. Black Bear Diner first started serving up bear-sized portions of family favorites in 1995, and they are marketing this milestone with a year of tasty specials, fun celebrations, and a continued commitment to give back to the community. Stay tuned and be sure to stop by the Black Bear Diner on Hilltop Drive in Cypress and Redding all year long. And help us celebrate 25 years of
Black Bear Diner.
Hi, this is Mark from Haven Humane Society. It has been a challenging couple of years, and through it all, our amazing team has continued to save lives. We have so many fantastic animals that are looking for their forever homes, and with adoption fees so low, now is the time to add to your family. With puppies, kittens, dogs, cats, and so many more, we have the perfect addition. Come join our team as a volunteer and help in an area that works for you. Walking dogs, socializing cats, helping in our veterinary hospital, or folding laundry. We have many opportunities and welcome all volunteers. For more information, please visit our website at havenhumane.org or follow us on Facebook. On behalf of the entire Haven team, thank you for all of your continued support as together we get closer every day to North State with no more homeless pets.
Hey, hey, and welcome. This is the Ben Shapiro Show. Got a lot to get to this hour. A little bit later on in the hour, we're going to get to the Democrats' 2020 prospects, Bernie Sanders versus Pete Buttigieg. Is this turning into a two-man race with Joe Biden out of it completely? But we begin with President Trump's wild press conference yesterday, announcing his acquittal and celebrating it. Earlier this week, he gave the State of the Union address, excellent State of the Union address, theatrics, brilliantly constructed, well-delivered. And I said at the time, you know, if President Trump were like this all the time, he'd win 55% of the vote. And pretty much everybody said that, right? His advisors were saying that. People around Trump were saying that. People in the media who are longtime allies of President Trump were saying that. They were saying, if you could just be contained, Mr. President, if you could just be the guy who focuses in on what it is the American people care about, Mr. President, then you would be near dominant in elections. It would be almost impossible to stop you in elections. And then yesterday, President Trump was celebrating his acquittal, which happened the day before, and he decided that he was just going to down 8 Red Bulls, bust through a wall like the Kool-Aid man, and just take a giant dump on the Democrats. And all the Republicans were cheering. And on the one hand, of course, because, come on, I mean, President Trump is President Trump. And this was hilarious. It was entertaining. It was Trump doing peak Trump, right? In one way, the State of the Union was peak Trump because it's the best Trump can be, right? It is the best version of Trump and the best version of the best version of Trump. But this was the best version of sort of normal Trump, which is Trump being Trump, riffing, doing comedy. And that has its upsides and it has its downsides. The upside is wildly entertaining. The downside is, well, is this going to win him any additional votes? The downside is, do people feel like he's the adult in the room? See, the beauty after the State of the Union is that Nancy Pelosi looked like a child and Trump looked like an adult. Now everybody just looks like children. It's just that Trump is a much more entertaining child. So in any case, President Trump, he gave this big presser yesterday and he went off on his opponents. And again, I understand the emotional drive to do so. I understand it. I understand why he'd be angry at Adam Schiff and Nancy Pelosi. I understand why he'd want to browbeat them. I'd understand why he'd want to go out there and hold up the newspaper and never stop holding up the newspaper that says Trump acquitted. This is a guy who's been put under the gun by the Mueller investigation in Russia for 2 years. It turns up nothing. And then immediately he gets hit with this Ukraine stuff. And then that is not sufficient to oust him. And so he feels like a survivor and he gets to have himself a little party. So he brings out the pinata and he starts beating it up. So President Trump yesterday, he comes out swinging. He says, the witch hunt started the day I came down the elevator. He was in the East Room of the White House, and man, he was letting it all hang out. It was a word salad. I mean, if you had to make a word cloud for this thing, it is cloudy with a chance of meatballs, because weird things just flying out of the sky. References to Bobby Richardson, the former New York Yankees second baseman. Full-on descriptions of Steve Scalise getting shot. I mean, everything that you could possibly want and not want in a Trump presser was here. Here was President Trump, though, beginning by explaining, the witch hunt started the day I came down the escalator.
But a tremendous thing was done over the last number of months. But really, if you go back to it, over the last number of years, we had the witch hunt. It started from the day we came down the elevator, myself and our future First Lady, who's with us right now. Thank you, Melania.
And of course, he's right about this. And this led him into just bashing his opposition. So, again, it was really funny. It was really hilarious. Is it a winning strategy for the president of the United States? No. It doesn't have much to do with that. It doesn't have much. And in the end, this is why the State of the Union isn't going to mean a lot, and this isn't going to mean a lot. It all washes out. And in the end, what's really going to matter are the underlying facts, which we'll get to in a minute, and which do, in fact, favor President Trump. As we'll see, Trump wasn't the only one who decided to air his grievances on Festivus yesterday. Here was President Trump holding up the Washington Post and acknowledging full well that the Washington Post never runs good headlines about him, which of course is true.
You could take that home, honey. Maybe we'll frame it. It's the only good headline I've ever had in the Washington Post.
And of course, as I say, this is Trump, you know, freewheeling, unbound, Trump unchained. And that was the upside. So the upside was that Trump was in a good mood. The downside is that when Trump is in a good mood, he sometimes decides to really go for it. So here he was going after the Russia stuff and suggesting that the Russia stuff was bleep. And people are getting upset about this. Again, I'm not going to bother getting upset about this. This is our politics. Get over it. We live in idiocracy. Here's President Trump.
And there's nothing from a legal standpoint. This is a political thing. And every time I say this is unfair, let's go to court, they say, sir, you can't go to court. This is politics. And we were treated unbelievably unfairly. And you have to understand, we first went through Russia, Russia, Russia. It was all bullshit. We then went through the Mueller report.
Okay, and then President Trump finally goes after Nancy Pelosi and says, Nancy Pelosi, Adam Schiff, these are all horrible, horrible people, horrible people. So things are getting better in Washington, D.C., not worse, obviously.
I've always said they're lousy politicians, but they do two things. They're vicious and mean. Vicious. These people are vicious. Adam Schiff is a vicious, horrible person. Nancy Pelosi is a horrible person. And she wanted to impeach a long time ago when she said, I pray for the president. I pray for the president. She didn't pray. She may pray, but she prays for the opposite. But I doubt she prays at all.
Okay, so President Trump was doing the full Trump. And the media lost it over this. See, this is the thing. Well, it is true that President Trump is acting rather unpresidential here. Is that fair? That he's acting unpresidential? I think it's fair, right? I don't feel like Lincoln, Washington, Reagan, like this was really in the wheelhouse. It is the reaction of the left that justifies everything that Trump does, at least in the minds of, I think, most Americans. At least most Americans go, okay, yeah, so he's acting childish. But guess what? Everybody's acting childish, and he's just in the middle of a mud fight. As I've said before, the perception on the left is that President Trump ruined American politics. The reality is that President Trump was the coroner who declared American politics dead. The people who actually ruined American politics pre-existed Trump. It turns out that politics existed before Donald Trump became a politician. He only became a politician in 2015. It turns out that politics had been on a really, really sharp downslope for quite a while before that. President Trump gives this fairly ridiculous presser. And it was. I mean, let's just be real about this. It was hilarious, but can also be ridiculous. Many things can be true at once. That things can be entertaining and also ridiculous. See every Michael Bay movie, like, ever. Or John Woo's face-off. Right? Many things are ridiculous and also wildly entertaining. Okay, but the tut-tutting is what made Trump president, and maybe the tut-tutting that keeps Trump president. What I mean by that is that the wild misperception that American politics in the absence of Trump is a perfectly healthy organism, that American politics without Trump is perfectly great, and that it's just Trump who ruined everything, is such myopic bullcrap. It really is. It's not true at all. If you want to talk about the institutions and the people who ruined American politics long before Trump ever came on the scene, you're going to have to look across the aisle to Nancy Pelosi. So Nancy Pelosi really let the cat out of the bag the other night when she ripped up Trump's State of the Union address because she'd been trying to do this whole, I'm above all of this. I'm above all of this. I'm the adult in the room. And then at the end of the State of the Union, in pre-ordered fashion, right? I mean, she had planned this. She tore up President Trump's State of the Union address. We know she planned this because there's actual video of her pre-ripping the paper because she wanted to make sure that her hands could actually get through the paper. It's why she knew that she wasn't going to try to rip up the entire speech at once. She separated it into several parts. I mean, she practiced this thing, right? So it was preordained childishness. It was pre-planned childishness. And this has been the nature of American politics for a long time. Trump is not pre-planned, right? Trump is just, I'm going to go out there and spew childishness. But the Democrats, it's been pre-planned, it's been organized, and it's been backed by the media. So the media were going nuts yesterday over President Trump. Let me show you the media before I get to Pelosi, because there are really two suspects, in my view, in the death of American politics. Okay, as I say, I think Trump's the coroner, not the murderer. So who are the actual suspects? There are two real suspects, in my view. Suspect number one is the media, and suspect number two are the Democrats who work hand in glove with the media. And the media are suspects because the media have been acting childish since day one. It was the media who were promoting the Bush is Hitler, Bush is awful, Bush is lying about the war in Iraq, Bush is a danger to the community, he's a chimp, he's an idiot. They did the same thing with Ronald Reagan. They've been doing it for decades. And then it turns out that the American people bridled against that, and they went to other sources of information, and the media just doubled down on all of this. The media lost all of their legitimacy long before Trump came on the scene. Again, it's so funny. The media declared Trump the murderer of the media because he says things like fake news all the time. They fake news. They go, oh my God, attacks on the press. Hey guys, we all knew that you were fake news. Trump just said it. Okay, Newt Gingrich said it in 2012 and got a bump in the Republican primaries. Like, this has been a long going narrative on the right, and it is not untrue. And when we say you're fake news, it doesn't mean everything that you report is fake. It means that all of you who portray yourselves as the journalistic explainers of the world, all of you who portray yourselves as the objective journalists who are attempting to just bring fact and separate it from opinion, nearly all of you are Democrats, and you filter everything through that Democrat lens. That's what makes you fake news. If you say you are opinion news, you're not fake. Then you're exactly what you say you are, but you don't. And so this is why every time Trump does something and the media reveal their own bias and reveal their own predilections, all they are doing is underscoring why Trump is the coroner and not the murderer. So here is what CNN was doing during Trump's speech yesterday. I mean, this was their chyron, right? This is their chyron. Their chyron is supposed to be the objective description of what is going on. No editorialization. Instead of Trump speaks from East Room in acquittal celebration, their chyron yesterday said Trump vindictive and vulgar in impeachment acquittal celebration. Okay, that's editorializing. It's clear editorializing. So I'm supposed to think that President Trump ripping on CNN is somehow inappropriate when CNN is ripping on Trump? Now, you may think that it was vindictive and vulgar. I mean, it was pretty vindictive. I think it was far less vulgar. But regardless, that is editorializing. That is not an objective description of reality, at least not in it. Again, you want to give your opinion, that's fine. But don't pretend that that is an objective description of reality. And then you had Gloria Borger and Breonna Keeler going off on Trump on CNN yesterday and really just clutching at their pearls, not just rolling their eyes and saying, okay, that's Trump being Trump and that's what Trump does. Instead, it was just, how could anyone do this kind of thing in American politics? American politics, the home of dignity. How could we do all this? Come on.
You have been watching the President of the United States with an unscripted, vindictive, at times profane, angry, rambling response to his impeachment acquittal.
This started out with the President coming out into the East Room to ruffles and flourishes, and then immediately turned into an avalanche of grievance against everybody. It was vindictive, as you pointed out. It was full of revenge. It was mean-spirited. It was poisonous. It was spiteful.
Wow. Can you clutch those pearls any harder? You clutch those pearls any harder, they're going to turn into diamonds. I mean, seriously, it's pretty astonishing. And again, then when Trump says, you guys hate me, it's like, well, yeah, they do. And they pre-existed him. Okay, CNN was around and criticized long before this. I mean, I was on CNN in like 2014, before Donald Trump was running for president, talking explicitly about the fact that during the Gaza war that was happening between Hamas and Israel, that Hamas could not have had better spokespeople than CNN. I mean, CNN has been biased for an extraordinarily long time. So again, the media wished to make it that President Trump's childishness and vindictiveness and thin-skinnedness, that all of that is the death of American politics. And it's like, no, Trump is just the symptom and also the coroner of everything that is going on. CNN's John Harwood doing the same routine. So John Harwood comes out, he says, well, this guy is in psychological distress. Weird. I don't remember them psychoanalyzing Barack Obama when he was literally crying during some press conferences about mass shootings. I don't remember them doing like a deep dive into his psychology. I just remember them celebrating his emotion. I don't remember when Barack Obama was saying things about bringing guns to knife fights politically, them talking about Barack Obama's vindictive nature, or in 2009 during the financial meltdown when he suggested that he would let the pitchforks have the bankers. I don't remember people in the media suggesting, well, isn't that a bit vindictive and spiteful? No, then they were busy celebrating Barack Obama. But when Donald Trump is Donald Trump, then all of a sudden we're going to go into full psychological analyses by John Harwood, who last I checked is not either a psychologist or a psychiatrist. But in any case, here was Harwood.
This was a very disturbing tableau for the country. It was dark because he's made clear that his mind is dark. This is somebody in deep psychological distress right now. Self-pitying, insecure, angry. He said almost plaintively at the end when he was reading a text from Strzok to Page, where he said, I'm not a bad person. He was sort of imploring people to accept that view of him.
Again, the more that you get from the media on this score, the more Trump dumping all over the media, you're like, okay, fine. I mean, at least Chris Matthews says who he is, but Chris Matthews, you know, lays it out what the media actually thinks. This is where I like Chris Matthews. Chris Matthews didn't hide in the ball, right? I mean, Chris Matthews is of the left. He knows he's of the left. He says he's of the left. It's the people like Andrea Mitchell who claim they're not of the left who are the problem. But Chris Matthews yesterday, as Evans State, said he's a cult leader. He's a cult leader. He's like Jim Jones, you can feed everybody the Kool-Aid. Everybody's going to die, even though Jim Jones was supported by half the Democrats in Congress. He's a cult leader. He's calling for a fight to the death, which, by the way, would be, like, amazing politics. In any case, Chris Matthews, go, go, go. Come out of the shoe. Get him in your rumpled, and then I talk,
they're
I say things.
They're talking about banishing Mitt Romney from the party. That's the language of a cult, banishment. It's not a language of the Constitution or of our American tradition. Banishment for the one guy who dared in the United States Senate to vote to convict. I think it's also an attempt by the president to basically tell his troops, here's the fighting line right now. We're going after everybody who went after us. We're going to fight to the death. We're going to get them.
So suspect number one in the death of the American political scene, the media. Okay, the media have a lot of blame to carry on. Now, I know there are a bunch of people on the left, and they say, well, yeah, polarization of the media is the problem. No, polarization of the media is not the problem. Dishonesty in the media is the problem. And there are people out there on the left that are like, well, you have a leftist cheers tumbler on your table. Aren't you contributing to the death of American politics? No, I'm honest about who we are over here, right? We don't really like the political left very much, by which I mean not liberals, but people who wish to shut down debate, people who believe that people should be the platform for having an absolutely mainstream point of view. I'd rather that everybody be honest like Chris Matthews is than dishonest like the folks over at CNN. Coming up, who are the suspects in the death of American politics? They all want to blame Trump. But there are other suspects, and those suspects are a lot more cogent. This is the Ben Shapiro Show.
KCNR is proud to announce that we are now live at 96.5 FM, as well as online, and as always, heard on 1460 AM. Weekday mornings, wake up with the Sue McClain News Hour, followed by Free Fire Radio, your talk radio station at the epicenter of change in downtown Reading. 9 to noon, be informed and laugh along with Armstrong and Getty, the conscience of the nation. Noon to 3, find your financial peace with Dave Ramsey. 3 to 6, the hard-hitting constitutional expert, Mark Levin. Monday through Thursdays at 6 p.m., local shows feature everything from the paranormal to pop culture to unsung heroes of our area. 7 to 9, Ben Shapiro with an expanded program that brings the issues of the day to your radio. And finish your weekday with the Chris Plant Show, 10 p.m. to 1 a.m. KCNR, now on 96.5 FM, 1460 AM, and always online. More than ever, we're your locally owned, community-connected talk radio.
That doesn't happen to men.
It's not just a woman's issue.
It only happened once.
I will intervene. But he's such a nice guy.
We will look out for each other.
What did she think would happen?
I will step in.
It's just the way people are.
It's on us to change the future for our children.
We will change the culture.
Get involved. One safe place. OSPShasta.org/changetheculture.
We all had friends and family that were affected by the car fire. Most of the cleanup is done now, and a lot of families are looking at rebuilding. If you relied on a well for your water system, it's important to assess the condition of your well and its capabilities to be able to meet the demands of new construction codes. I'm Ted Ogilvie with Diamond Core Drilling. We've been providing water well systems and pumps in Northern California since 1980. Let us help you with your rebuilding process. That's Diamond Core Drilling, 275-8162.
Hey guys, I'm Bob the Drop. Welcome to my podcast. Do you like water? If you do, you're going to love me. I'm pure and simple. I'm talking refreshing. Yeah. Spent 500 years in a glacier. The boy was that cold. I never was and never will be tap water. Nope. Bottled at the source, the base of Mount Shasta. Yep, pure and simple. Naturally the best. You can try me by calling 1-800-922-6227. Mount Shasta Spring Water.
The average adult is issued 32 troopers that with proper care and just a little discipline should serve you well during your entire tour of duty on this planet. They're called your teeth. But when your platoon gets out of line, holes in the formation, or other problems, you need to call in an expert like General, Dr. William Farrell, with decades of experience keeping those troops in line and executing their assigned duties properly and dependably. If you'd rather not be there while he reestablishes order amongst the troops, Dr. Farrell offers sedation dentistry. He and his highly trained staff will whip your troops into shape without any discomfort. And having served himself in both the Navy and the Marine Corps, Dr. Farrell Apparel offers special consideration to veterans. Let him take the best care of your platoon of teeth, and they will serve you always. Call 547-5757 or visit palosidrodentistry.com. At ease.
And for a limited time, Dr. Farrell is offering x-ray, exam, and cleaning for just $175. Call 547-5757 to schedule your visit.
Hi, I'm Sharon Clark of Home Helpers. It's amazing to look back at all the families we've touched since 2004, but our clients say it best.
I want to express my deep appreciation for the love and support you and your...
So fortunate to have an organization like Home Helpers.
You never know how much your contribution meant or how greatly you touched our lives.
Thank you so much for helping me care for my husband.
After hearing what it's meant to them, I truly can't imagine doing anything else. When you need help for your loved one, choose Home Helpers. There is no place like home.
The blood of American politics, that blood spatter from the corpse of American politics, it's all over her shoes. Okay, just as it is the shoes of the media. This is Murder on the Orient Express. Okay, there are many suspects here. So Nancy, here's the proof. Nancy Pelosi yesterday, she does her own press conference. And she is also childish and wild. So, yes, Donald Trump's presser. Not going to say it wasn't childish and wild. It was childish, wild, and hilarious. Nancy Pelosi gave her own presser. It was childish and wild. Was there any blowback whatsoever? Of course not. Nancy Pelosi yesterday suggested in her press conference that Donald Trump looked sedated. Now, imagine if Donald Trump had said that Nancy Pelosi looked sedated or like she was sucking on lemons, which she did. Imagine if he had said that. And I'm like, oh, look, again, he's coming to kill American politics. There he is, the axe murderer of American politics. Nancy Pelosi suggests the president is drugged and nobody says a word. I mean, it's unbelievable.
I extend the hand of friendship to him to welcome him as the president of the United States to the People's House. It was also an act of kindness because he looked to me like he was a little sedated. He looked that way last year, too. But he didn't want to shake hands. That was that. That meant nothing to me. It had nothing to do with my tearing up. That came much later.
Again, it's so childish and so petty and so stupid. But she's been around a long time, right? She was the House Majority Leader in 2006. So she's been around a lot longer than Donald Trump. Pretending that the world started spinning in 2016 is the way for Democrats to avoid their culpability for the fact that Trump got elected in the first place. Pretending that Trump came along and he shattered all of the norms of American politics and broke everything, that's the way to avoid the inevitable conclusion, which is that the Democrats and the media broke American politics, and then Trump came and he said, look, American politics is dead. And everybody went, oh, that's true. And then they voted for him. Okay, so all of this is going to, as much as I don't like the violation of norms by President Trump, as much as I criticize President Trump for being ridiculous and petty and vindictive and thin-skinned, as much as I think that he pursues dumb strategies in going after Mitt Romney makes his vote and Trump gets acquitted, as much as I think all of that is foolish and counterproductive, I also recognize that foolishness and counterproductive action did not begin, nor will they end, with President Trump, which means that in the end, I think the American people are going instead to turn to underlying facts when it comes to the 2020 election. Underlying facts, like the fact that January was a big month for jobs. According to CNBC, an unseasonably mild January helped power the U.S. jobs market to more gains, with non-farm payrolls rising 225,000 for the month, well above Wall Street estimates. The unemployment rate ticked higher to 3.6%. But that's only because the labor force participation rate increased 0.2 percentage points up to 63.4%, which actually matched its highest level since June 2013. So people who have been out of the workforce for years are reentering the workforce looking for jobs. Economists surveyed by Dow Jones were thinking that the payroll growth would be 158,000. Instead, payroll growth was 225,000, a more encompassing labor market indicator that includes discouraged workers and those holding part-time positions. For economic reasons, also moved higher, rising 0.2 percentage points to 6.9%. Again, that's because more people are reentering the workforce. The employment-to-population ratio in the household survey rose to 61.2%. That's the highest since November 2008, and 0.5 percentage points higher than a year ago. So basically, we are now, only now, starting to reach pre-recession levels of employment in the United States relative to the general American population, because Barack Obama did preside over the slowest job growth in American history in terms of recovery from a recession. So that is very good news for President Trump. Other very good news for President Trump is that wages are again accelerating. The unexpected job strength also reflects robust gains in weather-sensitive sectors, including construction, which climbed by 44,000 for the strongest growth in a year in an unseasonably warm month. Weekly hours worked held at 34.3 hours for the third month, matching the lowest level for most of the past decade. Economists look to hours worked for early signs of labor market softening, as companies often cut hours before laying off workers. So, you know, very good news for President Trump. The labor force grew by 574,000. This is all very good news for President Trump going into the election cycle. Coming up, the Democratic 2020 primaries remain a mess. Now new calls for canvassing in Iowa. This is the Ben Shapiro Show.
You may have seen the sign. You may have even driven by it today. Hi, I'm Rick Gendra, owner of Gendra 76 on the corner of Cypress and Bocelli. We've been a family-owned automotive care and repair business since 1979. And yes, we still pump your gas and clean your glass. Stop by anytime. Let us show you what old-fashioned service is all about. And try our app to save up to 25 cents per gallon of quality 76 gas.
For many people, their faith, their family, and their health are the most important things in their life. Every day, the work that I do influences these things. Children go to college, couples move into their first home, people retire, businesses start, and charities are supported. All of this in part because of the work I do. I can make complicated things clearer so people understand them. I can solve problems and find solutions. People need someone to put their interests first. And for many people, I am that someone. I can lend an ear, stand with you during life's ups and downs, and provide that advice at just the right time. That's why I love my job. That's why I'm a financial advisor, Susan Eastman, with Wells Fargo Advisors in Redding, California, 243-7561. Once again, this is Susan Eastman with Wells Fargo Advisors. I'd love to be your financial advisor. Please give me a call at 243-7561.
Aloha, this is Kevin, operations manager at Maui Bob's Office Cleaning. A professionally cleaned business sends a message to your paying customers. It says you are a company that cares about your image and always presenting the very best impression. Time after time, I've talked to clients who shopped for the lowest price and after a few months realized that their professional image was suffering. They didn't know who was actually coming into their offices to do the cleaning, and they just weren't getting the value they were paying for. Be wary of big-name companies that take your money, then hire unknown contractors to do the work. Since 1987, Maui Bob's Office Cleaning, your local professionals, have been offering the best in office cleaning by our screened, bonded, and insured staff. Take pride in your business and say aloha to your customers with the professional cleaning services from Maui Bob's Office Cleaning. Call 221-5868, 221-5868, MauiBob'sOfficeCleaning.com.
This is Ted Leidy with the Northern Firearms Instruction Personal Protection Tip of the Day. If you have the ability to park in a garage or carport, do it. Criminals identify dark streets and alleys to target unsuspecting victims who are distracted with loading or unloading packages or children. Another important part of your personal protection plan may be the use of a firearm. If that's the case, give us a call at NFI at 999-1822 or to find and register for one of our popular CCW or other firearm safety courses, visit us online at usgunpro.com. Remember, it's our right and our responsibility.
The Active 2030 Club of Reading has done it again and made the 12th annual Sundial Film Festival free to attend. Action, drama, adventure, comedy. The Sundial Film Festival will feature films of all styles from local filmmakers. With an afternoon showing at 2 p.m. and an evening showing at 7 p.m., there's something for everyone. The 12th annual Sundial Film Festival will be taking place March 7th at the Cascade Theater. Free tickets to both showings are limited, so grab your ticket today at sundialfilmfestival.com. That's sundialfilmfestival.com.
As we remember the anniversary of the North State fires, Northern Valley Catholic Social Service would like to thank you. Because of you, NVCSS has served over 26,000 people in the North State. Because of you, children have returned to school. Our communities are rebuilding. Families have a new place to call home. People are healing. Northern Valley Catholic Social Service thanks you. Together, we will continue inspiring hope and transforming lives.
49.
This is the story of Julie Guillot. She's a Leukemia and Lymphoma Society advocate and the mother of a child who battled blood cancer.
Zach was diagnosed with AML, a deadly leukemia, when he was only 5. While the treatment really attacked the cancer, unfortunately, it also attacked his body. Uncontrollable fevers, terrible nosebleeds, and his skin was burned from the inside out. He died at just 9 years old, really from the treatment that was meant to save him.
The Leukemia and Lymphoma Society was founded 70 years ago by parents who also lost their child to cancer. Today, we're pioneering breakthrough treatments for kids with cancer.
We you're so close to finding better treatments for kids with cancer. So it's too late to save Zach, but working together, we can save thousands of kids just like him.
Visit lls.org and save a child's life.
Welcome back. This is the Ben Shapiro Show. So the Democratic 2020 primaries are a mess. They're a mess mainly because the guy who was supposed to win them running away, Joe Biden, is completely collapsing. The Democratic 2020 primaries are a mess for the Democrats. According to 538, Bernie Sanders is now a 1-in-2 odds-on favorite to be the nominee for president of the United States for the Democratic Party and win a majority of the delegates. They are forecasting that he will win above a majority of delegates, about 1,700 delegates. They are forecasting that Joe Biden will come in second and Pete Buttigieg will come in third. They're really forecasting that because they're thinking that Biden is going to win a bunch of delegates in the South, particularly among black voters. See, here is the problem. Pete Buttigieg is indeed surging. There's no question that Pete Buttigieg is surging. The latest polls in New Hampshire show Pete Buttigieg actually challenging Bernie Sanders for primacy. The best news here, by the way, would be for Pete Buttigieg to win New Hampshire outright for Biden. Right? That would be the best news for Biden. Because if Pete Buttigieg wins New Hampshire outright, I know that the conventional wisdom is that then he will go on, he will become the moderate lane Democrat. I don't think that's correct. I think that if Pete Buttigieg wins New Hampshire, the person that hurts most is Bernie, because Bernie is widely expected to win New Hampshire. If Buttigieg wins Iowa and he wins New Hampshire, then you will get the candidate of sort of the white upper class versus the candidate who is more popular with minorities. So people are assuming that Buttigieg is cutting into Biden, and there's truth to that in places like Iowa and New Hampshire, but if Buttigieg starts to actually overcome Bernie in state after state, then what you're going to see is people move away from some of these other candidates to counter Buttigieg. And that's why you're going to see Biden go after Buttigieg tonight. In New Hampshire, the latest poll statistics show that Sanders is only very narrowly leading Buttigieg. The newest Boston Globe Suffolk poll has them in a dead heat. It has Buttigieg at 23 and Sanders at 24. The Emerson poll that came out the same day, it has Sanders further ahead at 32 with Buttigieg at 23. And Monmouth, which came out the day before, had Sanders within spitting distance of Buttigieg, Sanders at 24 and Buttigieg at 20. Bottom line is that that lead has shrunk dramatically for Bernie Sanders. Buttigieg is getting a big bump from Iowa. Part of that is due to the media coverage. Bernie did win the most votes in Iowa, but he's unlikely to win the most delegates. It's basically a dead heat. And Bernie was expected to do really well in Iowa, while Buttigieg was kind of left for dead a few weeks ago. Well, Buttigieg obviously did really well in Iowa, and now he's doing really well in New Hampshire. Now, these are very, very white states, and neither Bernie nor Buttigieg has a lot of black support, which is why I suggest that if Buttigieg actually overcomes Bernie, then that's going to leave a pathway for Joe Biden in places like South Carolina, because Buttigieg does not have the national organization that Bernie has. Bernie has been starting to make some inroads into minority communities in ways that Buttigieg simply has not, although Buttigieg is a far more innately talented politician than Bernie Sanders is. Buttigieg has also been able to work this magic where he pretends that he's moderate when he is absolutely not moderate. I mean, super not moderate. By the way, Biden is completely collapsing in New Hampshire as well. Biden is falling apart. Elizabeth Warren is stagnant. I think she is toast. Biden at least can make the case to his people that if he holds on to South Carolina, maybe he'll do okay there. But again, the polls in South Carolina have been tightening fairly a lot as well. Biden is now running at like 11% in the last two polls in New Hampshire. Just disastrous stuff for Joe Biden. And he's going to have to show some signs of life to his supporters, or he is going to be toast forthwith. Now, with all of that said, the latest East Carolina U-poll still shows Biden blowing everybody out in South Carolina, right? It shows Biden at 37. This is taken pre-Iowa, though. Biden at 37. Tom Steyer at 19. And that actually is a sign of possibility for Michael Bloomberg, right? Because Michael Bloomberg is just like Tom Steyer, except more so. Tom Steyer has spent like $75 million. Bloomberg has spent $200 million on this race, particularly in Super Tuesday states. So this race is a complete mess. The person with the easiest path by far at this point is Bernie, because Bernie is the most well-known. He's got a machine. He's got a movement behind him. And he has a lot of small dollar donors that are just throwing off money, right? All of that is shows benefit for him. But the fragmentary nature of the field and the possibility that you could see, let's say that Biden falls apart so badly in South Carolina, he gets out. Well, that opens the door to either Buttigieg or Bloomberg or somebody else. So it's a mess out there. Biden, for his part, is panicking. He's prepping for the debate. But what exactly is he going to do that he hasn't done before? Presumably he's going to have to get aggressive with Bernie. Presumably he's going to have to get aggressive mostly with Buttigieg and attack Buttigieg. Buttigieg has been fairly smooth on defense. Buttigieg has been able to sort of push off all of the attacks on him. And also, I'm not sure that the experience attack really matters much to Democrats since they elected to the presidency twice a guy who had had 5 minutes in the United States Senate. If they really wanted somebody who had done anything in his life, they wouldn't be looking at Bernie, who's been a useless piece of crap for the last 6 decades. And the bottom line is that they're looking for somebody who sort of mirrors vision, makes them feel good about themselves. And Buttigieg is doing that far more so than Biden. This is the problem for Joe Biden. According to the Washington Post, outside the castle-themed Radisson Hotel where Joe Biden has been staying, his campaign bus was parked and ready for events. But on Thursday, just 5 days before the crucial primary here, the candidate was nowhere to be found. Biden spent Thursday gathered with his top advisors at his home in Wilmington, Delaware, seeking a reset and perhaps a last-ditch effort to save his candidacy, beginning with a debate on Friday night. He held no public events. He's set to appear on all the Sunday shows on Sunday because he needs the publicity. Following dismal results in the Iowa caucuses that have rattled many in his orbit, his campaign is now simultaneously trying to lower expectations here, some suggesting they'd consider a finish as low as third place of victory, while bracing for a second straight difficult election day. In one troublesome sign for the financially strapped campaign, it canceled nearly $150,000 in TV ads in South Carolina, which votes February 29th, and moved the spending to Nevada, whose February 22nd contest follows New Hampshire's. The move seemed to acknowledge that Biden's campaign cannot sustain a continued run of bad news, which of course is true. He needs to win Nevada outright. Dick Harpootlian, South Carolina state senator, said from a Biden perspective, there's going to be a course correction in all three states before Super Tuesday. He's got to have sharper elbows. He suggested those inside the campaign realize the gravity of the moment and that Biden had to better explain the differences with his opponents. The problem is that his campaign is not exactly built for comeback kid Bill Clinton, New Hampshire type moments. Right? It's an old campaign. It's a doddering campaign. He hasn't bothered to do any of the groundwork. He just assumed he was going to sail to the nomination, that he was owed the nomination. And people didn't feel that way about him in the same way that they felt about Hillary Clinton. Harpootlian says history may write the best thing that ever happened to Joe Biden was getting gut punched in Iowa. It woke him up. It woke his campaign up, his supporters up. They were complacent. You've got to talk about the other guy. But at least on Thursday, it was the other guy talking about Biden. Pete Buttigieg was going after Biden. He said, if your focus is on electability, it ain't Biden who's the most electable. It's me. Now, in a second, we're going to get to Bernie versus Buttigieg, because now this is a three-candidate race, and really one of those candidates is in serious trouble. Right, that candidate who's in serious trouble the most, obviously, is Biden. Coming up, let's talk about Pete Buttigieg. Everybody keeps pretending that Pete Buttigieg is a moderate. Not so much. This is the Ben Shapiro Show.
For many people, their faith, their family, and their health are the most important things in their life. Every day, the work that I do influences these things. Children go to college, couples move into their first home, people retire, businesses start, and charities are supported. All of this in part because of the work I do. I can make complicated things clearer so people understand them. I can solve problems and find solutions. People need someone to put their interests first. And for many people, I am that someone. I can lend an ear, stand with you during life's ups and downs, and provide that advice at just the right time. That's why I love my job. That's why I'm a financial advisor, Susan Eastman, with Wells Fargo Advisors in Redding, California, 243-7561. Once again, this is Susan Eastman with Wells Fargo Advisors. I'd love to be your financial advisor. Please give me a call at 243-7561.
I'm celebrating local heroes. Tune in the second Thursday each month at 6.05 p.m. right after the news for Heroes of the North State on North State Now. I'm Michelle Slade. During North State Now, we will speak with your neighbors, friends, family, and community members who give back, not to be recognized, but because it's the right thing to do. During these conversations, we will learn what truly makes our community and the people in it. Join me the second Thursday of each month at 6.05 p.m., right after the news, for Heroes of the North State on North State Now.
Did you know that the City of Reading has started licensing commercial cannabis activities within the city limits? Synergy is the first of the city's approved retailers to obtain licensure, bringing to the Reading area the most experienced retailer in the North State. They will ensure that your visit is both professional and comfortable. Access is simple and discreet. Synergy has a private 25-space parking lot at the back of the building. Synergy is located at 345 Hempstead Drive, Reading.
Where do you go in Shasta County to get advice on the best type of firearm to meet your needs and how to safely carry and use it? The answer is to join the revolution at locally owned Bastiani Arms. Bastiani Arms believes in a better way to serve their customers and providing them with all the information needed to make the right decisions before and after the sale. They have a large selection of guns and ammunition and always special discounts for veterans. Self-protection is your right. Join the revolution at Bastiani Arms, 2539 Larkspur Lane in Reading, 222-8222.
No one plans to visit the emergency room, but when life's accidents happen, you need on-time, first-rate medical attention. Shasta Regional Medical Center, located at 1100 Butte Street in downtown Reading, has the fastest possible transit and admission of emergency patients. We at Shasta Medical Center are dedicated to all patients who need care, regardless of their ability to pay. Shasta Regional Medical Center, delivering patient-centered health care with compassion, dignity, and respect for every patient and their family.
Welcome back. This is the Ben Shapiro Show. So, supposedly, the race is now turning into moderate Pete Buttigieg versus wild-eyed Bernie Sanders. Well, Bernie is wild-eyed, but Buttigieg ain't no moderate. Like, nobody who's running is a moderate, with maybe the exception of Biden. Even he is not particularly moderate. Even the ones who are sort of moderate, like Michael Bloomberg, are trying to pretend they're not moderate, because if they acknowledge that they are moderate, then they have a problem, which is that the base doesn't like them very much. So instead, what you get is one candidate. Basically, the difference between Buttigieg and Sanders is that Buttigieg pretends he's a moderate and Sanders is not. Right, so Sanders just says the quiet part out loud. Sort of. Even he lies a little bit, right? He says he's a socialist, but only like Finland and Denmark. Only like Finland and Denmark, right? This is his routine all the time. Here was Bernie yesterday. He was asked, how would you convince Americans concerned about the socialist label to vote for you? And here is Bernie lying about what he actually thinks.
My definition of socialism, needless to say, is a little bit different. And I think if you look at countries around the world, look at countries in Scandinavia, Finland, Sweden, Denmark, what do they have? Everybody in those countries has health care as a human right. They vary a little bit, but by and large, it is a right. You don't have to take out your wallet. It is available to all people.
Okay, again, nationalized health care does not mean that you live in a socialist country. It means you want to socialize medicine, which, by the way, is wildly unpopular in the United States, because his version of socializing medicine is not the version that you see in Switzerland or that you see in Singapore, where there's an individual mandate and then you buy into a private but not heavily regulated health insurance sector. Instead, Bernie's vision is that you are just taxed and then the government borrows a lot of money and then the government provides you directly health care, and doctors and nurses and hospitals work directly for the government, which is the worst form of socialized medicine. But when Bernie says his brand of socialism is Finland and Denmark, I'm just wondering when it shifted from Cuba and the USSR and Venezuela, which he's praised fulsomely, all of them. Like, what is his – why? Why? If you actually ask the politicians of Denmark whether they are a socialist country, they will tell you straight up no. In fact, the prime minister of Denmark recently spoke at Harvard Kennedy School of Government, and somebody asked him about the socialism in Denmark. He said, what socialism? We're a capitalist country. So Bernie's just lying here. But so Bernie even Bernie lies about how radical he is, but at least Bernie is a little more honest than the other people in his caucus. Bernie says, yeah, sure, my economic plan, yes, I want climate change, and yes, there will be some job loss. I will acknowledge for you, there will be some job loss. Well, yeah, people are not going to be, I mean, he's cutting ads against himself at this point.
Trump does not believe in climate change. And in not believing in the reality of climate change, what he is doing is threatening the very well-being of kids and future generations, and that is unacceptable. But from an economic point of view, he's also wrong. We can create, yes, there will be some job loss. I acknowledge that. But what we can do is create a heck of a lot more jobs as we retrofit our older buildings, as we move to wind, solar, geothermal, and other sustainable energies.
What he's talking about is nuts. I mean, it's fully nuts. The amount of wind power that is present in the United States powering the electrical grid is de minimis, effectively. Okay, so when he's talking about there will be job loss, welcome to the ads against Bernie Sanders. And here's the inherent problem for the Democrats. Bernie may be the most viable candidate in the primaries because, again, he has the lowest, he has the highest base, right? The floor for him is the highest. It's kind of like Trump in 2016. The floor for him is very high. It's 20-25%. That may be enough to get him through the primaries because that 20-25 starts to look like 30 or 35 as the field consolidates. But if Bernie's actually in a general election, you know, the worries about his electability aren't going to go away. They're not. I mean, Bernie himself acknowledged that the voter turnout in Iowa, where he's declared massive victory, the voter turnout in Iowa was abysmal. It was like 170,000 people showed up to vote in Iowa. That's the same number that showed up to vote in 2016, and it is about 40,000-50,000 lower than showed up to vote in 2008. They were hoping it would be 240,000. It was way lower than that. Bernie acknowledges that. He was asked about his electability too. I mean, he has literally last night he was asked about his electability, and his answer was, well, a lot of young people showed up to vote, so we're going to turn out audiences that have never historically voted. That was exactly what Jeremy Corbyn said in Britain, and then nobody showed up to vote. Here's Bernie acknowledging that nobody showed up in Iowa either.
Senator, a key part of your argument for the general election, your electability, is that you're going to boost turnout by bringing all these people into the process that haven't been voting. Iowa turnout doesn't look like it was higher than last time. Does that concern you?
It does. And I would have liked to have seen a higher turnout. I think I can probably speak for every other candidate.
Yeah, except that if you win, then your case has to be, yeah, the turnout was great because people are enthused. Except what if people aren't that enthused? Herein lies the problem. Bernie can't even acknowledge that how he's going to get his health care plans enacted, because he's not going to get them enacted. Nobody's going to vote for this crap.
Earlier this week, Vice President Biden said, and I quote, "The Speaker of the House isn't for it. Most Democrats in Congress are not for it. So how's it going to pass?" Talking about your plan. How's it going to move? How does it get done?
Well, actually, most members of Congress, I believe, are. I think the majority are on board for Medicare for All in the House, not the Senate. This is how you do it. And this is the answer I'm going to give tonight time and time again. That what our campaign is about, and I admit it, it is a different type of campaign. Because I'm not here to tell you, vote for me and I'm going to do all these great things. Ain't going to happen that way. It never happens that way.
Instead, I'm here to tell you that I'm going to say that we should do it, and then magically, a unicorn will arrive, and I will be riding on its back, eating a cup of pudding, and Medicare for All will just happen. And Hillary Clinton was criticizing Bernie correctly. She says, listen, he keeps promising the moon, he can't deliver. She's on Ellen doing her non-presidential tour. And she gets this right. Now, here's the problem for the Democrats. Democratic Party members, the base, they don't really care. They just want to hear the promises. They don't want to hear how they actually get implemented. But here was Hillary making the point that Bernie can't effectuate any of this stuff.
You've got to be responsible for what you say and what you say you're going to do. We need to rebuild trust in our fellow Americans and in our institutions. And if you promise the moon and you can't deliver the moon, then that's going to be one more indicator of how, you know, we just can't trust each other. So it's not good theater. It's not maybe good politics anymore. But I think you should tell people what you mean what you say, and have some sense of responsibility for how you would get anything done that you talk about.
I can't believe I'm about to say this, but Hillary Clinton is being more honest than Bernie Sanders. That is a reality, what she is saying right there. Meanwhile, speaking of dishonest people, Pete Buttigieg has been masquerading as the moderate alternative to Bernie Sanders. And he's been able to get away with it because Bernie is so off the wall loony left. And because Joe Biden has been collapsing, and he's been almost physically collapsing. But Buttigieg is no moderate either. There is no moderation inside this Democratic Party. Pete Buttigieg was on The View yesterday, and he was asked by Meghan McCain about late-term abortion, like partial birth abortion. And Pete Buttigieg refused to even disassociate from late-term abortion, which is madness, okay? Very few Democrats are into the idea of being able to abort a baby at 8 months in the womb. Okay, like, I don't know who's for this, but it's an evil position that once you hit 35 weeks of pregnancy, you should be looking at the possibility of killing the child. Are you out of your damned mind? But Pete Buttigieg thinks that should be perfectly legal. Here's Meghan McCain incredulously asking him the question.
Anybody seriously think that's what these cases are about?
Think
about the situation.
That, yes.
If this is a late-term situation, then by definition, it's one where a woman was expecting to carry the pregnancy to term. Then she gets the most perhaps devastating news of her life. We're talking about families that may have picked out a name, maybe assembling a crib, and they learn something excruciating and are faced with this terrible choice. And I don't know what to tell them morally about what they should do. I just know that I trust her, and her decision, medically or morally, isn't going to be any better because the government is commanding her to do it.
It is absolute madness. I mean, what he's talking about is eugenics there, right? When somebody gets horrible news that a baby is going to have some sort of terrible disease right before birth, they decide to kill the baby. What about that doesn't, why should the limiting point be birth at that point? Also, it is simply untrue when he says that all late-term abortions, by their very nature, are people who get bad news. That's just not true. Late-term abortions, as it very often turns out, are done for the same reason that the vast majority of abortions are done, out of choice and convenience. So the fact that Pete Buttigieg is overtly defending late-term abortion on a moral level is pretty astonishing stuff. Pete Buttigieg is no moderate. He's not even close to a moderate. And even things that he says that sound moderate are not actually moderate. So let me give you an example. Yesterday, Pete Buttigieg did the CNN town hall, and he was talking about about how teachers are paid. And his suggestion is that America would be better if we paid teachers like doctors. Now, this is ridiculous on a couple of scores. One, teachers do not go to school for as long as doctors, nor do they have as particular a skill set, nor is there a supply and demand problem with teachers. Okay, the fact is that if you're a first grade teacher, you are incredibly valuable to first graders. You're not as valuable to first graders as a doctor is to somebody who just had a heart attack, nor have you had the training. There's a serious supply and demand issue here. It is fairly easy to get trained to be a first grade teacher. It is very, very difficult to be trained as a doctor. I know this because, once again, my wife is a doctor, which only gives me credibility insofar as I accompanied her on that decade-long journey of crap in order so that she become a doctor. To suggest that she should be paid the same as a third grade teacher, see, in order for this to make sense, what he's saying is teachers should be paid like doctors. What he really means is doctors should be paid like teachers, because he's not suggesting that teachers get paid $300,000 a year. If he were suggesting that teachers be paid $300,000 a year, he'd be very much in favor of private education because and open competition. He'd be anti-teachers unions, which are the reason that teachers don't get paid more. The reason that teachers do not get paid more on an individual level, not on an average level, on an individual level, is because no matter how good a teacher you are, you may be booted out of your job because of seniority rules established by unions in order to protect older teachers who may not be as good and have been in the job longer. But here's Pete Buttigieg saying silly things. I mean, this is, again, Bernie pie in the sky kind of stuff. America would be better if we paid teachers like doctors. Yeah, America would be better if we paid line cooks like doctors. But the problem is, it's much easier to nationalize systems and have doctors paid like teachers than to do the hard thing that Pete Buttigieg would never want to do, and that is actually pay teachers like doctors based on skill set, based on the performance of their students, and based on the need for the skill level of particular teachers. He's not willing to do that. I'd love to hear him explain to Randy Weingarten over at the American Federation of Teachers why he is now in favor of a merit-based pay system for teachers, because he clearly is not.
You should have a little more support. In fact, a lot more support. I would argue that if we could honor our teachers a little more like we do our soldiers and pay our teachers a little more like we do our doctors, this entire country would be a better place. And again, being married to a teacher, I have seen just how much teachers put in and invest in not just having to pick up supplies for your classroom, but emotionally invest in the well-being of kids, conversations with parents long after hours, late nights, grading papers. And yet look at what you're up against.
Yeah, what you're up against is a system that is stacked against you in terms of a government that pays you not all that much based on your merit, but instead pays you based on union contracts that you have signed with the state. What you're also stacked up against a governmental system that demands things from you that really ought to be put on the back of parents. I mean, the fact is that if you want to look at school performance, the first thing that you ought to look at is not the teachers. The first thing that you ought to look at is the family structures of the students, because that is what is correlative. I mean, that is not a racial point. That is a simple demographic point across races, that parents who have more time and more energy and more focus on their kids with regard to their schooling are going to do better no matter what school they go to. But again, this is all pie-in-the-sky nonsense. Buttigieg is just as radical as Bernie. He just hides it better. That's all. I mean, listen, this is ridiculous. Buttigieg says he's going to pay for his health care plan, which, of course, is Medicaid for all who want it. And he acknowledges that this is basically the first step toward Medicare for all, because once you establish a public option paid for by taxpayers, then employers are now going to have an incentive to not give their employees health care, at which point they can toss people onto the public rolls. You're going to have to increase the expenditure on taxpayer dollars. The public plan will be funded by Congress. What is popular for Congress to do is to continue to fund that at exorbitant rates, undercutting insurance companies. And eventually you run the insurance companies out of business and you end up with Medicare for all. Right? That is what the public option is designed to do. Here's Pete Buttigieg saying the way he's going to pay for that is by repealing Trump's tax cuts. Ain't enough money there, my friend. If you think that simply by repealing the Trump tax cuts, which, by the way, disproportionately benefited people in the middle class, then good luck to you.
All we've got to do to pay for it is take two steps. Part of that 1.5 comes from rolling back a Trump corporate tax cut that went to the wealthiest and the biggest corporations, didn't do us any good, and has created a huge deficit. We roll that back, that does most of the work.
No, it doesn't do most of the work. And when you do corporate tax increases, corporations lay people off. What do you think they are doing with their money? They're not just paying it out to people. And if they do pay it out to people, you know what those people do? They then pay income tax. The economic either illiteracy or dishonesty here is astonishing. But again, as Biden collapses, Buttigieg is picking up the pieces, which opens the way for Michael Bloomberg, who is writing full-on op-eds in the New York Times about fixing income inequality as the ninth richest person on earth. So good luck to him in all of this. The Democratic Party may be irrevocably broken at this point, which is why it is vital that President Trump not blow it on the shoals of his own emotionality. Because seriously, do you want these people running the country? Is that what you would like? This is the Ben Shapiro Show.
News from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.
News this hour from townhall.com. I'm Gordon Griffin. EU Ambassador Sondland and the Vindman twins have been dismissed from their administration post.
Now that President Trump's been acquitted, Sondland is out. So is Lieutenant Colonel Alexander Vindman, the decorated soldier and national security aide who testified against the president.
I'm not happy with him. You think I'm supposed to be happy with him? I'm not.
Vindman was escorted out of the White House, according to his lawyer, as retaliation for telling the truth. Vindman and his twin brother, who's a White House lawyer, have both been reassigned to the Army.
That is correspondent Jackie Quinn. Fed forecasters see no interest changes signaled in a newly released monetary policy report.
In its semi-annual monetary report just released, the Fed did not signal any imminent changes in its benchmark interest rate, which stands at a historically low range of 1.5 to 1.75% following three cuts last year. The Fed's current position is that it views the present level of interest rates to be, quote, appropriate to support sustained expansion of economic activity, unquote. A strong labor market with inflation nearing the Fed's 2% target mark reinforced the Fed's statement. George Bonzani reporting.
A witness to the deadly crash of a helicopter carrying Kobe Bryant and eight others said that it sounded normal just before slamming into a hillside, and wreckage examined by experts at the scene showed no signs of engine failure. That, according to federal investigators in a report released Friday, the January 26 crash occurred in cloudy conditions, and aviation experts said that the investigative update from the National Transportation Safety Board reinforces the notion that the pilot became disoriented and crashed while trying to get to clear skies around Calabasas. Calabasas is just northwest of Los Angeles. More on these stories at townhall.com.
PAC Mortgage Corp. DBA Cascom Mortgage. NMLS ID 128231. Equal housing lender. Not licensed in all states including New York. Offer not available in Washington. Call 855-657-9910 for licensing terms and restrictions.
You see it on TV every day. Global turmoil. But these international events help keep interest rates low and may even drive them lower. In response, we at Cascom Mortgage have lowered our interest rates for the new year. And that's great news for homeowners. If you have a current rate above 2.99%, call us to see how much you can save. If you qualify, we'll even pay your closing costs. And we can close your refi in as fast as 20 days with no upfront deposit. With our low interest rates and no closing costs if you qualify, there's never been a better time to lock in a low rate before it's gone. For a free quote, go to cashcallmortgage.com or call 800-609-1378. That's 800-609-1378. 800-609-1378.
A California father caught up in the college admissions bribery scandal is given jail time and a massive fine.
Douglas Hodge has received the harshest penalty yet. 9 months in prison, a $750,000 fine, and community service. Prosecutors say the 62-year-old former investment company executive paid out $850,000 in bribes to get four of his children into the University of Southern California and Georgetown University as fake athletic recruits. He tried to get another child into Loyola Marymount. Hodge apologized in a statement read in court for tipping the scales in favor of his children over others. More than 50 people were charged in the admissions scheme, including actresses Felicity Huffman and Lori Loughlin. I'm Jackie Quinn.
Attorney General William Barr has waded into ongoing diplomatic tensions between the U.S. and China. News and analysis at townhall.com. German industrial production dropped sharply in December, and exports barely edged higher.
The economy ministry says production was down 3.5% compared with the previous month.
It added the production over the full fourth quarter was down 1.9%, led by sharper drops in the machinery and auto industries. Meanwhile, Germany's Federal Statistical Office reported that exports were up 0.1% on the month in December, while imports were down 0.7%.
That's correspondent Jeremy House. Germany's economy has grown for 10 consecutive years, but last year's 0.6% growth was the weakest since 2013. Fourth quarter figures have not yet been released, but officials estimated last month that the economy grew slightly compared with the previous quarter. One economist says that the German manufacturing sector is caught between cyclical weakness and structural weakness. More on these stories at townhall.com. I'm Gordon Griffin.
Message and data rates may apply.
What if there were a top-ranked business degree that gave you access to world-renowned faculty, leaders, and mentors, but on your schedule? The W.P. Carey School of Business at Arizona State University is now accepting high-quality applicants for its MBA and Business Analytics Master's degree programs offered 100% online. Learn more about the top-ranked W.P. Carey business degrees online. Text RANK to 79645. Again, that's R-A-N-K to 79645.
The most dangerous day for a newborn is her first day of life. Every 31 seconds, an infant dies from infections, pneumonia, malnutrition. But she doesn't have to die. For more than 60 years, Project Hope has been saving lives around the world, delivering medicines and supplies, giving newborns a healthy start, making sure her first day of life is not her last, because everyone deserves hope. To volunteer or learn more about Project Hope, visit projecthope.org/newborns.
Hey, and welcome. This is the Ben Shapiro Show. I've got a big hour coming up for you. A little bit later on in the hour, we'll be taking your calls at 855-236-3228. That's 855-236-3228. Plus, I'll be joined by my friend Bill Whittle. He has a brand new podcast about the Cold War. I want to ask him why Bernie was on the wrong side of that one. So he'll be stopping by to discuss that. First, you know, we're approaching the weekend, and it's been a long week, so a little bit of quick Oscar talk, because the Oscars are indeed this weekend. Now, I think that the ratings will be slightly up. There are some movies that people actually saw this year. There are actually a fairly large number of good movies this year. So if you got your Oscar pool ready and you're trying to fill it out in anticipation of maybe picking up a little bit of extra cash, I'm going to give you my winners in these various categories. So here are my winners in these various categories, and you can check my work over the weekend. And then I want to tell you about this insane story from the New York Times. They're very, very whiny. Too many white people nominated for awards, but this is what they always do. So when I say they, I mean the New York Times editorial board. So who's going to win? Actor in a leading role. So the nominees are Antonio Banderas for Pain and Glory, Leo DiCaprio for Once Upon a Time in Hollywood, Adam Driver for Marriage Story, Joaquin Phoenix for Joker, and Jonathan Pryce for The Two Popes. Joaquin Phoenix is likely to win that one. He has won every other award ceremony. So I would be very surprised if he doesn't pick up the Best Actor Oscar. Actor in a supporting role. Pretty obviously going to go to Brad Pitt in Once Upon a Time in Hollywood. That seems pretty clear. He's been winning a lot of awards in the lead-up. Actress in a leading role. This one is a little bit more divided, although Renee Zellweger is widely expected to win for her portrayal of Judy Garland. Actress in a supporting role. Laura Dern in Marriage Story for playing Laura Dern is going to, I guess they weren't going to give it for Admiral Holdo in Last Jedi. So it is Marriage Story, Laura Dern. Cinematography, I'd imagine it'd be 1917, Roger Deakins. Directing, I believe it'll be Sam Mendes, not Quentin Tarantino, Sam Mendes for 1917. And for Best Picture, I think it'll probably be 1917. It's been picking up a lot of awards. There was some talk about Once Upon a Time in Hollywood. Now, the reason I mention all of this is because everybody is apparently very upset in lefty land. Every year we have, what are people upset about in lefty land? And usually what happens is that there is some front-running film, and the front-running film is declared not appropriate because it is too white or because it is too patriarchal or something like that. Every single year, there will be a front-running film like Three Billboards Over Ebbing, and it'll be like, oh, that's definitely going to win. And then a month before the Oscars, a bunch of stories come out about how it's a very white movie, and then Moonlight wins or something. Right? That's and you can usually pick by intersectional point score. The problem is none of the movies that are actually nominated this year have an intersectional point score, and everybody's mad about it. Aisha Harris writes for the New York Times, and she has a piece today titled "Stop Blaming History for Your All-White, All-Male Movie." She says movies like 1917, The Irishman, and Ford vs. Ferrari have all used their historical settings as a shield to deflect diversity critiques, but the past had people of color and women too. Yeah, that's true. And we've told some of those stories. I mean, Harriet got made this year. 12 Years a Slave won Best Picture. Moonlight won Best Picture. Like, this, what are we talking about? It also turns out there are lots of interesting stories involving white people. Why is this a problem? Well, according to Aisha Harris, it's very, very bad. Why is it bad? Well, Anna Paquin had only one line in over 3.5 hours in The Irishman. When Martin Scorsese's crime drama made the festival rounds last fall, critics and reporters took note not just of the dearth of speaking time for Ms. Paquin, but for the director's male-heavy oeuvre as a whole. Mr. Scorsese, Deadline reported, dismissed the issue. The question was a waste of everybody's time, he said, adding his films feature a female lead if a story calls for a female lead. Well, that's true. Also, Anna Paquin's lack of screen time is one of the points of the movie, because Robert De Niro's ignoring her the whole movie and she's his daughter. That's literally one of the big points of the movie, but we have to pretend that's not the point of the movie so we can claim that the movie is sexist. But to some extent, Mr. Scorsese has a point, says this writer. But also, why do so few of his films call for female leads? A quick glance at the Best Picture Oscar nominees reveals just how impenetrable the armor of same old stories about white men in history is. Of the 9 films running in this category, all but 2 spent the majority of their runtimes at least 39 years in the past. Each of these period pieces is overwhelmingly homogenous when it comes to race, gender, or both. The fact that they are set firmly in the past seemingly allows them to exist without much pushback. Ford versus Ferrari is based on a true story of a rivalry between the rugged American car manufacturing behemoth and the Italian luxury car maker during the 1960s. It's the quintessential white dad movie. Guys racing cars, guys talking about cars, guys arguing over cars. That's very bad. That's very bad. Also, Once Upon a Time in Hollywood is very bad. Greta Gerwig's Little Women inspired complaints about stories of white girlhood being privileged over black girlhood. My God. So that wasn't feminist enough for you because there weren't enough black women in Little Women because the story's about white women. But there was a movie about a black woman called Harriet this year. It didn't receive as many plaudits as Little Women because it's not as good a movie, apparently. But you have one year where there aren't enough quota movies and suddenly Hollywood goes back to being Me Too, racist, brutal, sexist. No wonder nobody wants to listen to the critics anymore. Why would you? Ridiculous. All righty. In just a second, we're going to be having on Bill Whittle. He'll stop by to discuss the rise of communism in the United States again because he's a brand new podcast about the Cold War out. We'll talk to him momentarily first. Apparently, this is something that needs to be said because socialism is becoming more and more popular in this country. I mean, Bernie Sanders, an octogenarian old Marxist loonbag, could be the Democrats' presidential nominee, which is totally wild. If you are worried about socialism and its impact on the country, join my friends over at FreedomWorks. Right now, FreedomWorks is pressuring Congress to support Senator Steve Daines' resolution condemning socialism in America. A smart idea because it forces Democrats on the record as to whether they oppose socialism or whether they embrace socialism. If you'd like to help them pass the resolution, please text Ben, that's my name Ben, to 41490 and sign their petition today. Socialism is one of the most brutal and horrible ideas ever committed to paper by Karl Marx and then carried forward in policy, ending with the death of many, many, many human beings. It is not a surprise that some of the worst places on earth have socialist economies and that many of the best places on earth have capitalist economies, even if they have heavy social safety nets. Democrats just lie about that stuff, which is why Bernie, even though he stood for the Soviet Union and stood for Venezuela and stands for China and all of this, somehow claims that he's for Denmark and Finland. Well, if you want to oppose socialism, I'm encouraging you, join FreedomWorks, condemn socialism, text Ben to 41490, that's 41490, sign their condemn socialism petition today. My friends at FreedomWorks doing hard work on behalf of capitalism. Already joining us in just a moment, my friend Bill Whittle stops by to talk about the Cold War and Bernie. This is the Ben Shapiro Show.
Individuals and businesses with tax problems, listen carefully. If you owe over $10,000 in back taxes or have unfiled tax returns, U.S. Tax Shield can help you take back control. The IRS can seize your bank accounts, garnish your paycheck, close your business, and file criminal charges. Our team of tax attorneys can stop collections and get you protected. U.S. Tax Shield offers a price protection guaranteed quote to get you protected today. U.S. Tax Shield is A-plus rated with the BBB, so call 800-466-9625. U.S. Tax Shield, 800-466-9625.
Attention all authors. Page Publishing is looking for authors. Have you written a book and want to get it published? Page Publishing will get your book into bookstores and for sale online at Amazon, Apple iTunes, and other outlets. They handle all aspects of the publishing process for you. Printing, cover art, publicity, copyright, and editing. Call 800-501-3689 now for your free author submission kit. That's 800-501-3689 for your free author submission kit. Again, 800-501-3689.
If you owe over $10,000 in back taxes, you need a new start. Our New Start program will stop collection efforts, remove any liens the IRS has in place, and help you reduce your back taxes by as much as 80%. That's right, 80%. Call 1-800-312-9970. Let the professionals at Coast One Financial Group fight to get you the new start you deserve. If you owe at least $10,000 to the IRS and need a new start on your back taxes, call 1-800-312-9970.
Are you looking for senior care for your mom or dad but don't know where to start? Hi, I'm Joan London with The Place for Mom. Nobody knows your parent or loved one better than you, and nobody knows senior living better than the experts at A Place for Mom. It's a free service, and we've helped thousands of families find the right place for their mom or dad. There's a place for answers, A Place for Mom. Call today.
Call A Place for Mom at 1-800-391-1755. That's 1-800-391-1755.
It's 4 a.m., Monday, and you're literally sucking baby snot through a tube because she's congested. Man, that's love. And if you love her that much, love her enough to make sure she's buckled in the right car seat. To make sure your child's in the right seat for their age and size, visit nhtsa.gov/the right seat. Show them you love them. Keep them safe. Visit nhtsa.gov/the right seat. Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
Hey, check out this report of our Office 365 email and the threats sitting in users' inboxes.
Wow, how did you get this?
There's a free tool called Barracuda Email Threat Scanner that can quickly and safely scan our Office 365 email for hidden threats like spear phishing and domain fraud.
Really?
Yeah, Barracuda Email Threat Scanner identifies hidden threats and employees most at risk for a cyber attack, all summarized in a complete report.
This is great.
Get your free email threat scan now at Barracuda.com. Barracuda, your journey secured.
Welcome back. This is the Ben Shapiro Show. We're joined on set by Bill Whittle. Bill, of course, is an author, public speaker, and he's provided political commentary for Fox News, National Review, among other things. He's also the writer and performer of Apollo 11, What We Saw, the podcast series, which went to number one on iTunes, and is back with season two, The Cold War, What We Saw, which couldn't be more relevant today. Bill, thanks for stopping by.
Great to be here, Ben.
So let's talk about The Cold War, sure. What We Saw. What is the actual scope of the series? What's it about?
Well, it's a 42-year piece of history, and that's a lot of history. And I wanted to tell the story from a point of view that I've never heard it told about before. People talk about the conflict and there's the economic and the military and all the rest of it. But I wanted specifically to concentrate on the moral aspects, the moral differences between these two sides. Because the way it's taught retroactively, it's kind of, oh, it's Coke versus Pepsi, you know, Team Blue, Team Red. More or less the same, big misunderstanding. Two giant militaristic countries with these armies and missiles. And they're more or less the same. But they're not. They're not more or less the same. The nature of the Communist Party. Let me rephrase this. What I basically did was I decided, with all of the terms that have changed so much, liberals, conservatives, hawks, and so on, it's individualist versus collectivist. That's the Cold War right there. It's a collectivist ideology that's been here from the beginning of time, namely that the peasants are just dispensable pieces of people that you throw into the machine, versus this brand new ideology of individualism. And when the Cold War started, this collectivist idea just kind of limped and then started to run from the east, from Stalingrad. And then this individualist philosophy came ashore at Normandy. And where they met at the end of World War II was what began the stage for World War III.
So with all of that said, we're seeing the Cold War obviously has great echoes today in the United States. I mean, when the Soviet Union fell, there was a widespread perception that communism had been defeated.
Right.
And now we see Bernie Sanders, who backed literally every communist regime of the 20th century, you know, so long as he has been alive.
Yeah.
And he is in all likelihood going to be the Democratic nominee. So what exactly has happened that Americans forgot about the moral conflict in which, by the way, the Democratic Party was on the right side of this during the Cold War?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. Yeah. Truman and Kennedy and yeah. You know what it reminds me of, Ben, strange enough, watching what you said about how we almost beat communism and now here it is again, reminds me of that scene in the first Lord of the Rings movie where Gandalf defeats the Balrog and it falls into the pit of fire, and just as it's going down, it whoosh, throws that whip up there, whips you around the ankle, and pulls the forces of good back into it. Bernie Sanders took his honeymoon, you know, if you really want to go someplace with your beloved, someplace where you can relax, kind of kick back. What better than Moscow in early spring, right? There's video of Bernie in a room with other Russians, and he's singing, "This land is your land, this land is my land." That land is a land where right now, today, in Lubyanka Square, is one of the largest toy stores in the world. It's beautiful. Moscow's beautiful. And right across the street is a building called the Lubyanka, which is an office building. It was built in the early 1900s, I think. But the Lubyanka was the office of the Soviet secret police. And for 25 or 30 years, every single night, hundreds and hundreds of people were lined up, six across, and shot in the back of the head. And then they'd go get some more. They'd put them on a trolley, string them up, put them in a cart. They'd bring in six more people, put them in front of these doors. The doors were they didn't go anywhere, just like their futures. The doors were there just to make sure that the ricochets didn't hurt the Czechists. And these people would get them stripped naked. And once again, six guys would raise their revolvers, and they'd shoot them in the back of the head. Kapang, kapang, kapang. This went on for year after year after year after year after year. That building is still standing. Bernie Sanders must know that, well, Bernie Sanders supporters, we saw on tape some of his campaign organizers talking about how swell the Gulag was and how swell the White Sea Canal is. The worst of the places in the Gulag was a camp called Kolyma, where the temperature in the winter, coincidentally, is the only place where Fahrenheit and centigrade match. It's 40 degrees below zero. And Bernie's position would be, well, it wasn't a death camp like the Nazis. It was a work camp. It was a work camp. And your life expectancy was about a year. And if you were working in the gold mines, it was 4 months. We think that probably 800,000 people, maybe a few more, died in Kolyma. That's one camp in the entire 300-plus camps of the Gulag. That means that Kolyma, on the leaderboard from hell, is probably third. Auschwitz first, Treblinka second, Kolyma third, in terms of number of people who've been murdered in one particular patch of land. Bernie Sanders goes over to this place and sings, "This land is your land, this land is my land." One of the guys who was in his campaign said, well, socialism, well, first of all, after he talked about putting political opponents in the gulags, which he then went on to defend, he also said, and they got together and built this canal. The people got together and just built a canal. Well, Gingrich Yagoda, who was head of the secret police, had attempted to impress Stalin by building a canal from the Baltic to the White Sea. And he used 125,000 laborers from the prisons. 25,000 of them were killed on the job. That's 177 individual human lives per mile. And when the canal was finished, it was built so quickly that they couldn't put any ships through it. And this is what Bernie's campaign people and Bernie himself think of as the model society. Bernie Sanders knows that the Baltic White Sea Canal cost 25,000 lives to build. He knows that the Kolyma camps killed hundreds of thousands of people in that one location, that there were 300 plus others around the country. He knows all of that. He knows that the Soviets at the Chernobyl explosion had the government regulating electricity, and when this thing blew up, it blew up because the reactor design that they used was cheaper. Was much more dangerous, but it was cheaper. And they didn't build a containment structure around Chernobyl because that also costs more money. So what's the worst that can happen? We can kill a few thousand people, right? They're cogs. They're pieces of machinery. And for those people who say, oh, that's Russian, that's not what he wants. He talked about nationalizing the entire electric grid of the United States 2-3 days ago. He wants to do to the electrical system what they did to the agricultural system. And that cost 10 million people killed. People. Real people like you and me. Real people like movie stars. It's almost like Charlize Theron. Almost that real, you know? Or as real as maybe Ben Affleck or Matt Damon. And this is the thing about this collectivist ideology. So we have to kill a few million people. They're real people, Ben, as you well know.
So the fact is that Bernie Sanders has, of course, expressed support for a lot of these regimes. He claims, of course, that he is really just talking about Denmark or Norway. And people have been falling for this trick for a while now. People have been suggesting when he says democratic socialism, he really just means the capitalist systems of Northern Europe that have heavy welfare systems, when in fact, again, he has called throughout his career for nationalization of nearly every major industry that you can think of. And he's never explained how he changed his opinion. The media let him get away with this.
Right, absolutely.
Of course, because they also seem to assume that communism just has never been properly tried, that you can nationalize all of these systems. But why should we look at the Soviet Union? Wasn't that just a system of botchery as opposed to the inevitable consequence of nationalizing major industries?
Well, my question to people who would say it wasn't done right would be, well, if you end up killing 30 or 40 million people, minimum in the Soviet Union, and you kill 50 million people when you try to do it in China, and you kill 7 million people when you try to do it in Cambodia, and you kill at least 2 or 3 million in Korea as a result of that, where the North, the communists invaded the South. The communists invaded the South in Vietnam. There's another 5, 6, 7 million there. Another couple, 3, 4, 5 million in South America, including Venezuela now, which is starving to death. And it makes me want to ask people, if your philosophy is the kind of philosophy that has failed so many times and killed 200 million people, maybe it's not such a good idea. You know, maybe it's not. But to give them, see, the Cold War was the ideologies in their purest form against each other. So Bernie and these will say, well, we're not talking about the Soviet Union. We're talking about Sweden. We're talking about Norway. Well, Sweden doesn't work because they don't make enough Swedes. Sweden has had to import all of these immigrants who are not Swedes. Swedish women cannot walk the streets in Stockholm anymore because they'll simply be attacked and raped. And I was in Norway just a few months ago, which is a very lovely place. Norway sells billions and billions and billions of dollars of North Sea oil to people that burn it rather uncleanly, and capitalism pays for Norway as well. The only thing I said when I was in Norway for 5 days that really, really, really seemed to offend my host was when I said this is a socialist country. They didn't like that at all.
Okay, well, the series is the Cold War, what we saw. The host is Bill Whittle. So final question for you.
Sure.
Here, Bill. You know, it's not just the Bernie Sandersites who obviously have looked beyond the costs of communism. We live in a time when there are a lot of people who have been looking the other way on China and simply assuming that everything to do with China is totally fine and dandy.
Mm-hmm.
It is an enormous evil regime. I mean, it's responsible for 365 million forced abortions minimum,
mm-hmm.
so over the last several decades. It's responsible for the forced sterilizations of tens of millions of women. It's responsible for what may end up being a Chernobyl-like disaster and its cover-up of the coronavirus. It's a horrible, horrible state, and yet people treat it as sort of a normal part of everyday life. Why the difference? Why is it that we looked at the Soviet Union and we saw moral clarity? We look at China and we see state-sponsored capitalism, single-party effectiveness, and everything the New York Times wants us to see in China.
Well, it's just that China's today's Soviet Union, right? I mean, the Soviet Union as a communist entity is gone. The left threw shade over the Soviet Union during the entire time it was there. Some people had the legitimate defense of being able to say they didn't really know what was going on in the Soviet Union. And in the 20s and 30s, you could probably make that case. Other people, like Walter Duranty, knew full well what was going on. People were being murdered by the millions. And he, at the New York Times, said, no, everything's great. They gave him a Pulitzer Prize. Times hasn't returned it yet. So China is just today's example of communism that we can just sort of turn a blind eye to. And people wear Che Guevara T-shirts, but they don't wear Heinrich Himmler T-shirts. And the death count on communism is far higher than what the Nazis did. And you know, Ben, what it is it's an unwillingness to accept the fact that if you look at people as cogs of a wheel inside a state rather than individuals, the power it takes to suppress individual work and the desire to keep what you work, the political power necessary to do that is the same political power that is necessary to kill. And the best example of this is simply in the Soviet Union. They killed all of the engineers. They killed all of the educated people, anybody with relatives abroad or had been abroad. So they kill all the engineers. Now, all of a sudden, there's something, honest to God, like 60,000 train accidents on one line in 1 year in the Soviet Union. How do you explain this? Well, they've got to be sabotage. You've got to be wreckers. The system is perfect. So the fact that we kill the people who know what they're doing can't have anything to do with it. The system is always right. It can never be wrong. And the reason we're even talking about having a socialist today is because we have never had a consistent, ongoing, factual pointing out point by point of how many people have to die to make this thing work. And the final thing is this: Fidel Castro is a man of the people. As a Soviet, you know, he was a man of the people. When he died, he had $800 million in his personal bank account. Lenin didn't go back to being a failed lawyer. Trotsky didn't do this. And Bernie Sanders, who's talking about income inequality, has three houses. I mean, how dumb do you have to be to keep falling for this con?
Well, Bill Whittle, the series is The Cold War, What We Saw. As you can tell, Bill is an expert in American history and in world history. His last podcast, Apollo 11, What We Saw, is fantastic. If you haven't listened to that, you should. And make sure you tune in for The Cold War, What We Saw. I'm sure it's going to be brilliant and well-produced, as always. I know, because we helped produce some of it. So go check it out right now, The Cold War, What We Saw. Bill, thanks so much for stopping by. Good to see you.
Pleasure, Ben. It's always great to be here.
By the time the Cold War had finally ended, it had consumed one-fifth of the nation's existence. For 43 years, the United States and the Soviet Union stared at each other across the nuclear abyss. The Berlin Airlift, the Korean War, the Cuban Missile Crisis, the Space Race, Vietnam, Détente, Reagan, Solidarity, Gorbachev.
Tear down this wall.
In 12 epic installments, we will walk ourselves forward through World War III. I'm Bill Whittle, and this is The Cold War, What We Saw.
As a kid, I wanted to explore every inch of the world, but then I contracted bacterial meningitis. My kidneys shut down, my spleen burst, both of my legs were amputated below the knees. But I didn't give up on my dreams. I medaled in the Paralympics, I'm a motivational speaker, published author, Dancing with the Stars runner-up, and training to compete in the next Paralympic Games. Help kids live their dreams, just like me. Put your money where the miracles are. Give to your Children's Miracle Network Hospital.
Individuals and businesses with tax problems, listen carefully. Do you feel like you're losing control of your finances? If you owe over $10,000 in back taxes or have unfiled tax returns, we can help you take back control. The IRS is the largest and most aggressive collection agency in the world, and they can seize your bank accounts, garnish your paycheck, close your business, and file criminal charges. Take control of your tax problem now by calling the experts at U.S. Tax Shield and take advantage of the Fresh Start program and new laws that may allow us to negotiate a settlement for the lowest amount possible. Our team of tax attorneys and enrolled agents can stop collections and get you protected so you can take control of your financial future. U.S. Tax Shield offers a price protection guaranteed quote to get you protected today. U.S. Tax Shield is A-plus rated with the Better Business Bureau, so call now. 800-785-9132. That's 800-785-9132. U.S. Tax Shield. 800-785-9132.
Are your tax problems keeping you up at night? Hi, Tax Owl here from the Coast One Tax Group. If you owe $10,000 or more to the IRS or state in back taxes, take 10 minutes and call Coast One Tax Group. It could save you 93% or more. Coast One Tax Group helps people all across America save big amounts of money. David from California saved $48,000 on back taxes. James and Lisa from Dallas saved $102,000. Call Coast One Tax Group now at 888-337-6949. A 10-minute call could save 93% or more. So who are you going to call? Coast One Tax Group, that's who. See how much you can save. The consultation is always free. What are you who waiting for? Relieve your tax stress today. Call Coast One Tax Group at 888-337-6949. That's 888-337-6949.
Attention all authors. Page Publishing is looking for authors. Have you written a book and want to get it published? Page Publishing will get your book into bookstores and for sale online at Amazon, Apple iTunes, and other outlets. They handle all aspects of the publishing process for you. Printing, cover art, publicity, copyright, and editing. Call 800-501-3689 now for your free author submission kit. That's 800-501-3689 for your free author submission kit. Again, 800-501-3689.
Are you looking for senior care for your mom or dad but don't know where to start? Hi, I'm Joan London with A Place for Mom. Nobody knows your parent or loved one better than you, and nobody knows senior living better than the experts at A Place for Mom. They've helped thousands of families find the right place for their mom or dad.
I was so glad that I called A Place for Mom. My advisor really listened and was truly my partner in finding senior care for my dad. She went out of her way to get to know him as a person and was always there whenever I had a question.
The senior living advisors at A Place for Mom partner with thousands of families every month
listening and offering local knowledge and advice to help find the best senior living communities across the country. And it's a free service. Here's the number.
Call A Place for Mom at 1-800-469-0286.
There's a place for answers. A Place for Mom. Call today.
Call A Place for Mom at 1-800-469-0286. That's 1-800-469-0286.
Hello, I'm Jose Hernandez, and I have been using a wheelchair since my accident in 1995.
My name is Andrea Dalzell, and I've been using a wheelchair since I was 5 years old.
I guess if I had one message for the general public, it would be that I appreciate your help. But please, ask first.
Yeah, a lot of people don't realize that I've actually got everything under control.
I think people get nervous. They don't know how to act, so they pretend I'm not there.
What probably bothers me the most is when waiters talk to my companion and not directly to me.
I think everyone with a disability can relate to that parking spot problem.
We know you're just parking in that disabled spot for a second, but please, don't.
We're just looking for the same respect and consideration as everyone else.
United Spinal Association is dedicated to enhancing the quality of life of people living with spinal cord injuries and disorders. Download our disability etiquette booklet at unitedspinal.org.
Welcome back. This is the Ben Shapiro Show. We are taking your calls at 855-236-3228. That's 855-236-3228. We are also going to jump into the mailbag a little bit here on the Ben Shapiro Show. For our subscribers, it's one of the reasons you should subscribe at DailyWire.com. Good shot that if you do, you end up in the mailbag. We'll start with a couple of quick mailbag questions. First, Mike says, Ben, I've heard or seen rumblings about Pelosi tearing up the State of the Union speech as a violation of 18 U.S.C. 2071. Two questions. Do you believe this is truly a violation, or is this conservatives trying to hit back because she got one over on the president on live TV? Second, if it was a violation, what is the problem? It's not really a violation of the law, because that would suggest that this was a quote-unquote official record as opposed to just a transcript copy, and I don't buy that that would hold up in court at all, which obviates the second question. P.S. Epstein didn't kill himself. Never stops being funny, dude. Trey says, hey, Ben, I'm a practicing Catholic and a graduate with a B.S. in engineering in May. I've accepted a job working on military contracts. I'm excited to help people who defend our country. What is your religious perspective of working on military contracts? Is there ever a too far? For example, would you work on projects such as the Manhattan Project? Well, the question is really not the nature of the weapon that you're developing. The question is the nature of the regime for which you're developing the weapon. So the Manhattan Project being developed in the United States in order to end World War II because you trust the American government, not a problem. Working on the Manhattan Project on behalf of the Soviets, much bigger problem. So if you are working on any sort of weapons contract on behalf of an evil regime, I would suggest you stop immediately. If you're doing it for the U.S. government, since I believe the U.S. government to be an excellent regime and the best of all possible regimes in this particular world, I see no problem whatsoever. But I'll take some of your calls now at 855-236-3228. Alicia in Wisconsin, you're on the Ben Shapiro Show, line one. Alicia, go for it.
Hey, Ben, just want to say I'm a big fan. My question is on fiscal conservatism. I'm a young conservative, and I believe in smaller government than we currently have now, and part of that is the national debt. I don't really know where to start on that or what politicians to be watching, so I'm just wondering how can we actually start making an impact and a dent into the national debt, or is it too far gone?
You know, I think realistically speaking, it makes me sad to say this, but I think that we are probably doomed for austerity measures in 2030 is basically where this is going to go, because the American people just do not have the wherewithal to talk about the actual structural drivers of the debt, namely Medicare, Medicaid, and Social Security. All of those are things that President Trump has promised to maintain, and most Republican politicians say that they want to cut them. The only ones who have tried to cut them, like Paul Ryan, the ones who have tried to restructure them, at least like Paul Ryan, have been just shellacked for doing so. This was Paul Ryan's life goal, which, you know, good on him. I mean, former Speaker Ryan, he spent an awful lot of time trying to promote plans to restructure Social Security. George W. Bush, after he won re-election in 2004, he said he wanted to restructure Social Security and allow people to at least privately hold some of their own Social Security money and invest it in the stock market. He got destroyed over that. The American people just aren't ready for the reality that restructuring these programs will bring. But it's going to have to be done, and somebody will have to do it. It's just that a crisis will drive it to happen. Alicia, the only thing I would say is that young Americans, the only thing we can do as young people is just inform other young Americans that all of the crap about how Medicare, Medicaid, Social Security must never be touched, just understand that that's never going to accrue to your benefit. We are never going to see it. If you are under the age of 50, you're not going to see the same Social Security that is currently being promised. If you're under the age of 30, you may not see Social Security at all, given the way this thing is going.
Yeah, for sure. I have my own Roth IRAs right now because of that. So, awesome.
Well, I appreciate it, Alicia. Thanks so much for the call. Mark in Texas, you're on the Ben Shapiro Show, line 4. Mark, go for it.
Hi, I'm a big fan of your show. Really like seeing all of your talks with the colleges and everything. Definitely some interesting background for what our colleges are doing these days. My question is about Nancy Pelosi. I'm well aware that she's not going to be facing any criminal charges for her State of the Union stunt, but I'm curious how you think this is going to affect her politically, if you think that she's done and over with over this stunt, or do you think it's still going to allow her to move forward?
Well, I think that she's in good shape with her own caucus, and that's all she cares about. And that's been the story of the last year and a half, was Nancy Pelosi. Would she be mistress of her own caucus, or would she be brought to heel? And the reality is that she doesn't run her own caucus anymore, and that was made pretty clear earlier last year when Ilhan Omar said openly anti-Semitic things, and Pelosi tried to bring a resolution condemning anti-Semitism and then had to dump that resolution in favor of a resolution condemning all bad things everywhere in the world so she wouldn't have to single out Ilhan Omar. It was at that point it became clear that she was basically in hock to her own base, and that's what she's been doing ever since. Impeachment was a stop to her own base. Tearing up the State of the Union was a stop to her own base. It makes her look terrible, frankly, I mean, because her entire shtick was, I'm the adult in the room, Trump is the child. And because Trump is the child, you need to trust me with power. I don't know why I would trust this puerile human being who has horrible priorities for the country over another vindictive, thin-skinned human being who I think has pretty good priorities for the country. So I'm not sure what Pelosi thinks that she was doing there other than just playing to the base and getting a few media plaudits, Mark.
Right. And I mean, if she would have done that same move, perhaps at a different speech that was perhaps a bit more about Trump and a bit less about our country, I think a lot less people would have cared. But it just came across as so incredibly childish.
I totally agree with
this. Certainly not.
Right.
Certainly not something worthy of the Speaker of the House.
Correct. I mean, if Nancy Pelosi had shown up at President Trump's wild presser yesterday and she'd been there and then she'd torn up the transcript or she had stormed out or something, then people have been like, okay, well, you know, fair enough. But he gave a very good unifying speech in which he talked about the nature of the economy and he talked about the sacrifices of American soldiers and he paid homage to the Tuskegee Airmen and all of this. And then she's ripping up the pages as though she's really upset about it. And not only that, she's in pre-produced fashion ripping up the pages. The whole thing just played horribly, I thought, Mark, and really undercuts a lot of her pitch to be the person trusted with power. I really appreciate the call. Tabitha in Houston, Texas, you're on the Ben Shapiro Show. Go for it, Tabitha.
Oh, hi, Ben. You forgot to say America right after that. Texas is amazing. Now, I actually have a question. So I've been trying to research a little bit about gun control and just the statistics, because I do know that they can include suicide in with gun control, like, you know, deaths by gun. And every time I try to look it up, it seems to be a little bit biased, and I'm not finding anything that is more or less not leaning towards, you know, guns are just bad and everybody
right.
needs to get rid of them. And I live in Texas, so that's probably not going to happen. Very well.
So if you're just looking for the raw stats.
I was
stats,
just wondering if you had a great source or site.
Yeah, if you're just looking for the raw stats, like suicides versus homicides, type of gun used in homicides versus suicides, that sort of stuff, the FBI does keep these stats, and they make them publicly available. They're usually a couple of years behind, but those are the statistical subsets that people are typically using. Where things start to go wild is when people start trying to classify mass shootings, for example. So you will see Every Town USA trot out statistics suggesting that there's a mass shooting every 5 minutes in the United States. And, of course, that's untrue. It depends on your classification. Is it a mass shooting if a man shoots himself and his wife? Is that a mass shooting? No. I mean, not by any realistic stretch of the imagination. Is it a mass shooting when there's a gang war and a gang member does a drive-by? Does that count as a mass shooting? Or are we talking about specifically, you know, sort of the El Paso model or the Sandy Hook model? And how many people are included in that? Does it include wounded? Does it include killed? What Everytown does is they set the bar unbelievably low. Basically, any incident where more than one person is shot ends up as a mass shooting. Well, yeah, I mean, in that case, then there are lots of mass shootings. But it really is where you draw the bar. And you do have to look at how folks define what constitutes mass shootings. And this is why the left likes to focus in on mass shootings, because it makes the statistics more malleable. The problem is when you go to pure murder rate, pure homicide rate, for example, the homicide rate in the United States has been declining steadily since 1994, even as the gun ownership levels in the United States in terms of guns in circulation have been rising consistently since 1994. It's very difficult to argue that more guns in society equating to less murder means that we need fewer guns in society. And it's very hard to argue that we need fewer guns in society, no matter which society you're living in the United States, when the gun murder rate in places like Vermont is unbelievably low, while the gun murder rate in places like Chicago is unbelievably high. What you'll see is people playing with the definitions, and that's an easy way to play the game. That's why they focus in on mass shootings. It's why after every mass shooting, there's a call for gun control, and it's why the media don't pay attention to Chicago, specifically because if they were to pay attention to the broader, more important rate, which is the homicide rate, it's very difficult to make a gun control argument on the basis of America's homicide rate at this current point in time.
Well, trying to have an argument with any of them is like talking to a brick wall. The other question I was trying to ask the lady, if I could ask you, is how in the world do you deal with it? I've sat here and tried to just give facts and things along the lines. I'm like, how these are educated people, you know, liberals, Democrats. They're educated people. They did go to, you know, Yale or Harvard or whatever else. And I just don't understand how they are so set and stubborn in their ways that they cannot see past their own hate and agenda to look at what's sitting in front of them to make everybody's lives to a certain degree better.
Yeah, Tabitha, it is amazing. Partisanship is one hell of a drug, and the fact is that
I'm telling you, I feel like amazing. I need a Xanax every time I walk away.
I know. The best thing you can do, and I've told so many people this, is know when to walk away. Really, you're going to save yourself an awful lot of heartache and trouble. I've done it more and more on Twitter. Like, I just find Twitter to be a complete time suck and soul suck, and so I'm spending less and less time on the site. I'm sort of monitoring the news in other ways, but the state of the union has gotten so polarized at this point, and not polarized around a common set of facts, but polarized around how much we dislike each other, that I find within 30 seconds of a conversation, know whether it's worthwhile or not. If it's not, you're going to want that time back on your deathbed, so don't waste the time, Tabitha. Really appreciate the call.
All right, well, I'll let you get back to it, Ben. Do a great job. Run for president one day. You got my vote.
Hey, thank you. Our number is 855-236-3228. We'll take more of your calls in just 1 minute. First, back in July of last year, I told you all about an awesome podcast. It's called Apollo 11, What We Saw, hosted by my friend Bill Whittle. The show took you back in time to the experience of living through the space age. We had Bill on a little bit earlier in the program. Well, now Bill has a new season of the show. You heard about it. It's called The Cold War, and it's fantastic. I want you to go check it out right now at dailywire.com/Cold War. The first two episodes are out. He recounts the history of the Cold War, why communism was bad. We need the reminder, given that Bernie Sanders is likely to be the Democratic nominee. Go check out Bill's brand new podcast, The Cold War. It really is fantastic. Everything from the Berlin airlift to the Cuban Missile Crisis to the space race, everything. They've already released the first two episodes. As I say, check it out at dailywire.com/Cold War. Go check it out right now. All righty, Pamela in Kentucky. You're on the Ben Shapiro Show. Really appreciate the call, Pamela.
Hi, Mr. Shapiro. I wanted to first of all tell you, I recently lost my son to rhabdomyosarcoma. It's a rare childhood cancer. He was only 20 years old. Yeah, I lost him last year, and you were his hero. Huh. I was introduced.
I'm so sorry to hear that. I really am.
Oh, thank you so much. He fought through it bravely. I was introduced to you and through all those long days and nights in the cancer ward, he listened to you constantly. And I really grew to enjoy everything you do.
Yeah, go ahead, Pamela. I was just going to say, I mean, that really means the world to me. And again, I'm praying for you, praying for your family. That's really terrible. I hope that you find comfort in the memory of your son. That's really, and it really means a lot to me that he listened to the show and that you do.
I do. And his name was Mark, by the way.
Okay, well, thank you.
As you know, President Trump, during the State of the Union address, he discussed the $500 million that he plans on giving to childhood cancer research over the next 10 years. My son wasn't one of the ones named during his address, but I feel that his fate and his death was mocked by Nancy Pelosi when she tore those papers up. My question to you, and I've asked several people, I have left messages for her. I have done everything. I am not a constituent in California. I can't do anything about what they are doing to our country. I vote Republican. I get out and I speak about everything I can. What else can we do about this horrible mockery. I think this woman should have to not just go visit a cancer ward. I think she should be like me. She should have to go live in one for a month, a childhood cancer ward. Or she should be like my son, who listened to other children scream in pain, knowing that was going to be him in a very short time. I think that's what these people should have to do. But what else can I do to let my voice be heard? Because I can't vote her out.
Yeah, well, Pamela, the thing that we can all do, obviously, is make sure that she's not Speaker of the House anymore. So I think that would be the chief thing to do. And again, I think that it was more of a political stunt than anything else. But far be it from me to defend Nancy Pelosi, who I think is absolutely horrible as a human being and as a politician. I doubt that she, you know, lacks sympathy for people who have cancer. But I will say that I think that she, that the disrespect that she showed during the speech was awful. I think that she does not deserve to be Speaker of the House. And Pamela, really appreciate your call. You can do just what you're doing. We'll make her not Speaker of the House anymore. And when she's not Speaker of the House anymore, she can do far less damage and she can be far less awful for the country. Put her in the minority again. That would be the answer to a lot of problems. You don't have to worry about what Nancy Pelosi thinks about things when she has no power over you. Coming up, we'll be taking more of your calls at 855-236-3228 here on a Friday. This is The Ben Shapiro Show.
Hey, have you heard that ransomware attacks have increased by 500% this year?
Yeah, cybercriminals are targeting all types of businesses, encrypting their data and holding it hostage unless they pay up.
What if we're their next victim?
Don't worry. We have Barracuda to detect, prevent, and recover from ransomware and other advanced threats.
So we're secured?
Absolutely. We'll pay no ransom and keep this business up and running.
That's a relief.
Protect your business at Barracuda.com. Barracuda. Your journey secured.
In 2007, Marine First Lieutenant Travis Mannion was killed in Iraq after saving his wounded teammates. Travis's legacy lives on through the words he spoke before his final deployment. If not me, then who? Words that today fuel the spirit of Travis Mannion Foundation. And through TMF, these words can live in you too. Show the world what you're made of, because character is invisible until it's not. Find out how you can strengthen the character of your community alongside empowered veterans, families of the fallen, and inspired civilians at TravisMannion.org.
Are you looking for senior care for your mom or dad but don't know where to start? Hi, I'm Jen London with A Place for Mom. Nobody knows your parent or loved one better than you, and nobody knows senior living better than the experts at A Place for Mom. It's a free service, and we've helped thousands of families find the right place for their mom or dad. There's a place for answers, A Place for Mom. Call today.
Call A Place for Mom at 1-800-391-1755. That's 1-800-391-1755.
If you owe over $10,000 in back taxes, you need a new start. Our New Start program will stop collection efforts, remove any liens the IRS has in place, and help you reduce your back taxes by as much as 80%. That's right, 80%. Call 1-800-312-9970. Let the professionals at Coast One Financial Group fight to get you the new start you deserve. If you owe at least $10,000 to the IRS and need a new start on your back taxes, call 1-800-312-9970.
Attention all authors. Page Publishing is looking for authors. Have you written a book and want to get it published? Page Publishing will get your book into bookstores and for sale online at Amazon, Apple iTunes, and other outlets. They handle all aspects of the publishing process for you. Printing, cover art, publicity, copyright, and editing. Call 800-501-3689 now for your free author submission kit. That's 800-501-3689 for your free author submission kit. Again, 800-501-3689.
Individuals and businesses with tax problems, listen carefully. If you owe over $10,000 in back taxes or have unfiled tax returns, U.S. Tax Shield can help you take back control. The IRS can seize your bank accounts, garnish your paycheck, close your business, and file criminal charges. Our team of tax attorneys can stop collections and get you protected. U.S. Tax Shield offers a price protection guaranteed quote to get you protected today. U.S. Tax Shield is A-plus rated with the BBB, so call 800-466-9625. U.S. Tax Shield, 800-466-9625.
Welcome back. This is the Ben Shapiro Show. We're taking your calls at 855-236-3228, 855-236-3228. 28. Luke in California on line 2. You're on the Ben Shapiro Show. Go for it, Luke.
Hi, Ben. First of all, I just want to say I'm a big fan, and I'm here in California, and, you know, California State, unfortunately. But here, us at Cal Poly would love you to come speak, but no pressure. But my question is, who do you think has the best chance of defeating President Trump in the general election out of the current candidates? And do you think Trump can win more electoral votes this time around than last time?
So I want to answer the second question first. I think there is definitely a possibility that Trump wins more electoral votes this time around than last time. What I'm looking at to make that calculation is the percentage of votes won by Hillary Clinton that are below 50%. Which states did she win where she won below 50% of the vote? Because that's a fairly good indicator that at least Trump has a shot there. So Colorado, for example, she won about 48% of the vote. He won about 43% of the vote. Gary Johnson picked up some 5% of the vote. Well, a lot of voters are going to come home to Trump. Colorado, theoretically, could be in play if it's a good year for Republicans. Other states might include the Maine at-large district, which Hillary Clinton very narrowly won. She won, I think, that 47.8 to 44.8, so that one was pretty close. New Hampshire was extraordinarily close. Minnesota was very, very close. Minnesota was 46 to 45, which is a very close result for Hillary Clinton. So you could see Minnesota swing, although Minnesota seems to have moved more blue than red. New Hampshire, I think, is really in play because she really barely squeaked out New Hampshire, like by a total of, I think, 3,000 votes, something like that, over Donald Trump in the last election cycle. So that one is in play. New Mexico is not quite as in play, but she still won under 50% of the vote there. And believe it or not, Virginia might theoretically be in play if there is a backlash to a lot of the gun control nonsense that Democrats have been pushing there. So it's hard to see which states Trump is likely to lose in response, right? He could theoretically lose Wisconsin, Michigan, and Pennsylvania. But I think that those states have been consolidating more red. Those are actually moving in the right direction for President Trump, particularly in the last year or so. As far as who has the best chance of beating Trump, it's somebody who can win all of those states, Michigan, Wisconsin, Pennsylvania. That does not look particularly like Bernie Sanders, because Bernie Sanders does not enthuse people in those states, particularly in rural areas that vote heavily for President Trump, nor does he draw enough votes from the big cities to outweigh that. See, this is the thing people are sort of forgetting, is that when Barack Obama won those states, it's because people in Philadelphia, largely black populations in Philadelphia, voted at outsized rates in 2008 and 2012. Same thing happened in Detroit in 2008 and 2012. Same thing happened in Milwaukee, actually, in 2008 and 2012. Hillary Clinton didn't replicate those rates, and so she lost. Right? I mean, the dirty little secret is that Donald Trump won fewer votes in the state of Wisconsin on an absolute level in 2016 than Mitt Romney won in 2012. So who can drive out minority voters? Theoretically, maybe a Joe Biden. But right now, as things stand, it's hard to see which Democrat is going to take back those states for the Democrats. I have a hard time seeing that Bernie is the guy to do it. Bernie himself is basically admitting now that he's not driving up voter levels to the levels he needs to win, that he's counting on young people to show up in outsized numbers. Young people have never shown up in history in outsized numbers in an election. So I think right now you got to put Trump at like a 55% favorite to win re-election at this point, Luke. Well, I really appreciate the call. Hey, thanks so much. Colton in Washington, you're on the Ben Shapiro Show. Go for it, Colton, line 3.
Hi, Ben, big fan. I just want to know, what do you think the Democrats' next move will be now that Trump's been acquitted of all charges? And what do you think about the Iowa caucus debacle?
Well, I think that the Iowa caucus debacle is going to hurt Democrats' claim that they are the adults in the room who know what they're doing, because they obviously are not. It seems to not have robbed Bernie of momentum, but it has given a real boost to Pete Buttigieg, and it seems to have blown back on Biden anyway. So the long-term effect is going to be that people don't trust the Democratic Party, which makes it more likely they have to give it to Bernie, right? Because if you don't trust the Democratic Party and you're inside the Democratic Party and Bernie ends up with, if not the most delegates, the second most delegates, or let's say he ends up with the most delegates but not a majority, there's no way they're going to be able to take the nomination away from Bernie. I mean, Bernie is odds-on prohibitive favorite to be the nominee for the Democrats, which means the Democrats' next move, I mean, they've basically run out of bullets in the chamber for President Trump. I mean, they've tried impeachment. They tried Russia. They've tried the he's a vicious racist line. They tried the women stuff. I wouldn't be surprised if they revitalize that stuff. I wouldn't be surprised if they start trying to find women who they say have been sexually abused by President Trump again, and they try to bring that to the forefront again. That would not be a grand and great surprise. It's going to be hard to do that when the Bernie bros constitute half of Bernie's base, and Hillary Clinton's been ripping into them as sexist, though. So yeah, he is fairly Teflon. The only person who can beat President Trump is presenting for a while now, Colton.
So you don't believe that the Democrats will try and railroad Bernie again?
I think it would be very difficult for them to do so. I think that Bernie's people would stay home and they know it. So the only way to railroad Bernie realistically is if Joe Biden revitalizes himself in Nevada, wins South Carolina, goes on, wins a majority of the delegates, and then Bernie whines about it. But if this turns into a prolonged six-way battle in which you get an open convention and Bernie finishes with the most delegates, there's no way they steal the nomination from him. There's just no way. I mean, because if they do, they know that he and his millions of voters will stay home, and they will throw the election to Trump. I mean, they don't really care. They don't see Joe Biden as much of an improvement over Trump. Mm-hmm. Robin in Beaver Dam, Wisconsin, you're on the Ben Shapiro Show. Go for it, Robin.
Hey, thanks for taking my call. Project Veritas had released a video in January stating that Bernie Sanders' campaign guide, Kyle Jurek, that cities will burn if President Trump wins re-election, and predicting violence against police at the 2020
yep.
Democratic National Convention in Milwaukee. Why is it that in the forefront? Because obviously the stuff that Sanders is proposing and the praising the Soviet-style gulags, obviously they haven't read Gulag Archipelago, and the violence they have predicted there.
Yep, no question. I mean, the media are not paying attention to it because they want Bernie to win. I mean, that's the obvious answer, Robin. If anybody on Trump's staff had said anything similar about any topic, there's no question it would have led the news for weeks at a time. Weeks at a time. I mean, when a random staffer says something racist, it leads the news for weeks at a time. There's no question that the media are covering up for Bernie. Really appreciate your call, Robin. Alrighty, coming up, we're going to get back into the 2020 election. Good news for President Trump on the economy. We'll get into it. This is the Ben Shapiro Show.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.
News this hour from townhall.com. I'm Gordon Griffin. The U.S. Ambassador to the European Union, Gordon Sondland, who testified against President Trump, says he's losing his job.
Sondland has issued a statement saying he's being recalled now as the ambassador to the European Union. It comes hours after Ukraine expert Lieutenant Colonel Alexander Vindman was removed from the National Security Council and escorted out of the White House. The Army says both Vindman and his brother, who's a White House lawyer, have been reassigned.
That is correspondent Jackie Quinn. Meanwhile, President Donald Trump is enjoying his best job approval numbers of his presidency.
The Trump campaign has said that the Democrat-led impeachment process has improved the president's support from voters, and there's new polling to back that up. The president's approval rating is at 49% in Gallup's tracking poll, the highest rating in that poll since taking office. His approval has improved among Republicans and independents, and Americans' confidence in the economy is higher than at any point in the past two decades. Greg Clugston, The White House.
The flu-like virus that originated in China has researchers worldwide once again scrambling to find a vaccine against a surprise health threat. However, there is no guarantee that one will arrive in time. University of Oxford vaccinology professor Sarah Gilbert says that the next few weeks are crucial in understanding the outbreak.
We're at a fairly critical stage just at the moment in being able to know what's going to happen. Are the number of cases being detected? We've heard that they're dropping. Is that because there are fewer infections really, or is it just difficulties in actually doing the tests and monitoring the patients?
The latest numbers on the China virus death toll, in fact, those numbers have risen now to 722, while new cases increased by 3,399 to 31,774, reversing the previous day's declines. More on these stories at townhall.com.
If your family depends on your income and something happened to you, what would happen to them? You need life insurance, and SelectQuote can help you get it at a price you can afford.
SelectQuote found Jacob, 40, who's in excellent health, a 10-year, $500,000 policy for only $19 a month.
Not in perfect health? Don't worry.
SelectQuote found Tanya, 40, who has type 2 diabetes, a 10-year, $500,000 policy for only $32 a month.
We shop companies like Protective, Prudential, American General, and others to find you the company with the best rates. Give your family the security they need at a price you can afford.
For your free quote, call 1-800-880-7474. That's 1-800-880-7474. Or go to SelectQuote.com. That's 1-800-880-7474.
SelectQuote. We shop, you save.
Get full details on the example policies at selectquote.com/commercials. Your premium could vary depending on your health, issuing company, and other factors. Not available in all states.
Credit Suisse's chief executive has resigned amid a power struggle which followed a spying scandal at the bank.
Tidjane Thiam is something of a star in the financial world. He was born in Ivory Coast and spent part of his career in government there. But his international fame came from European finance, culminating in his appointment as chief executive of Credit Suisse. But he fell out badly with one senior colleague who was also a neighbour on the shore of Lake Zurich. The colleague was followed by private detectives, though Mr. Thiam says he did not know about it. It was seen as a scandal that shook the rather conservative world of Swiss finance.
BBC correspondent Andrew Walker reporting, Britain's new ambassador to the United States is looking forward to expanding the traditional security and economic partnership between the two nations and to having talks with President Donald Trump. Veteran diplomat Karen Pierce says that the U.S. president has always been gracious and friendly to her. News and analysis at townhall.com. Big tech companies are taking over the stock market.
The five biggest U.S. stocks, Apple, Microsoft, Google's parent company, Amazon, and Facebook, have grown so explosively that they account for nearly 18% of the S&P 500 index by market value. Meanwhile, they make up just 1% of its population. The swelling at the top increasingly matters for regular investors who've been putting more of their 401k accounts into funds that mimic the S&P 500. The trends mean investors are increasingly beholden to the fortunes of five companies. Morningstar says the majority of money invested in U.S. stock funds is now in index funds. Jeremy House reporting.
Americans gave their credit cards a real workout this past holiday season. The Federal Reserve says that the borrowing on credit cards rose by the largest amount in more than two decades in December. Total U.S. consumer borrowing rose $22.1 billion in December. More on these stories at townhall.com.
Hey, check out this report of our Office 365 email and the threats sitting in users' inboxes.
Wow, how did you get this?
There's a free tool called Barracuda Email Threat Scanner that can quickly and safely scan our Office 365 email for hidden threats like spear phishing and domain fraud.
Really?
Yeah, Barracuda Email Threat Scanner identifies hidden threats and employees most at risk for a cyber attack, all summarized in a complete report.
This is great.
Get your free email threat scan now at Barracuda.com. Barracuda, your journey secured.
This is Jay Farner, CEO of Quicken Loans, and we want to help your house feel more like a home with some of the lowest refinancing rates ever. Rates have dropped so much that many Americans can reduce their rate. You may be able to save money on your monthly mortgage payment right now. The rate today on our 30-year fixed-rate mortgage is 3.99%, APR 4.23%. Call us at 800-QUICKEN or go to rocketmortgage.com.
Rates subject to change. Pay 2% fee to receive this discounted rate. Call for cost information and conditions. Equal housing lender. License in all 50 states. NMLS number 3030.
Hey, and welcome. This is the Ben Shapiro Show. I've got a lot coming up for you this hour. A little bit later on in the hour, we'll be talking about coronavirus and why it turns out that communism is a terrible way to handle a country, particularly a country that is threatened with an outbreak of a pandemic. We'll get to how China screwed this one up and how it cost a lot of lives and may continue to cost many more lives in the future. We'll get to that shortly. First, we begin with Bernie McSanders. So all of the focus is on Bernard McSanders because the fact is that Bernie won Iowa. The fact is that Bernie is likely to win New Hampshire. Pete Buttigieg is surging, but that is largely in part, I would say, a backlash to the reality, which is that Bernie is a bad candidate and that Bernie is a communist and that Bernie has a tough time winning. Right? It's going to be difficult to see how Bernie Sanders wins exactly. In fact, Bernie Sanders was asked, how do you defeat Donald Trump? And his answer was not, I would say, inspiring. Here's Bernie explaining.
If we're going to defeat Trump, we need a huge increase in young people's participation in the political process. We need to be able to reach out to some of Trump's working class supporters and make it clear that they understand the fraud that he is. We need to reach out to low income and working class people who traditionally do not vote. And let me to be honest with you. I think we are the candidate. We are a multi-generational, multiracial campaign that has the capability of reaching out to communities all across this country, bring them into the political process, and defeat Trump.
So good luck with that. Good luck with that. He's counting on the cohort of voters least likely to show up to the polls to show up to the polls in numbers that outpace the loss of supporters he's going to receive in the moderate wing. Good luck with that. Even in the Democratic Party, dude has no poll numbers with old people, and he has no poll numbers with black people. There's a new poll out today, and it shows that Bernie Sanders' support among black voters has actually cratered. Tommy Christopher, who's not a Bernie Sanders fan, he has a piece over at Mediaite today talking about this. He says Sanders was enjoying a bit of a surge with black voters in the weekly Economist YouGov poll, who went from 12% 3 weeks ago to 17% the following week in a poll that was taken 2 days after Sanders tweeted a video of Joe Rogan praising him. In the most recent poll, taken Sunday through Tuesday of this week, Sanders' support among black voters is back down to 8%, meaning that he still does not have any pull inside the Democratic Party with black voters. Black voters did show up in outsized numbers for Barack Obama in 2008 and 2012, obviously, but they're not going to show up in the same numbers for Bernie Sanders. And betting on young people is a risky proposition. We've been hearing for years that finally the young are going to come into their own. But young people, it turns out, have better things to do. They vote at extraordinarily low rates. If you want to bet on a population, you're probably better off betting on an older population, right? Which is sort of what Pete Buttigieg and Joe Biden are doing right now. And this is beginning to set in for a lot of Democrats. A lot of Democrats are looking at the Democratic Party and Joe Biden and Bernie Sanders, and they're saying, we're in serious trouble. James Carville is one of these. According to Vox.com, James Carville is scared to death of the November 2020 election. In a rant on MSNBC that went viral on Tuesday evening, the longtime Democratic strategist vented his concerns about the party's prospects for beating Donald Trump, taking particular aim at the party's leftward lurch. 18% of the population controls 52 Senate seats, Carville said. We've got to be a majoritarian party. The urban core is not going to get it done. What we need is power. Do you understand? This is what it's about. His diatribe took place against the backdrop of an Iowa caucus that had fallen into chaos and amid a rancorous ongoing debate among Democrats over the party's direction. He took particular aim at Senator Bernie Sanders. Carville's lament distills a concern among the Democratic Party establishment. Will ideological purity and playing to the base cost the Democrats victory in November? For Carville, at least, he says, we have one moral imperative, that's to beat Donald Trump. That his comments went viral speaks to the sense of urgency among Democrats, even as it only fuels the debate over the direction of the party. And listen, again, Bernie keeps saying, young people, even Bernie is recognizing that voter turnout in Iowa was terrible. With his young movement, with his big rallies, with AOC and Michael Moore, people didn't show up to vote. Even Bernie is looking around going, guys, really? Like, I'm going to win this thing? Okay, I suppose.
Senator, a key part of your argument for the general election, your electability, is that you're going to boost turnout by bringing all these people into the process that haven't been voting. Iowa turnout doesn't look like it was higher than last time. Does that concern you?
It does. And I would have liked to have seen a higher turnout. I think I could probably speak for every other candidate.
Yes, well, you would have had a higher turnout if an octogenarian socialist weren't leading the race. They were just counting on the fact that people hate Trump to show up to vote. But instead, you offer a complete bag of non-entities plus an old socialist. That ain't going to drive voter turnout. James Carville says, look, the turnout in the Iowa caucus was below what we expected and we wanted. Trump's approval rating is probably as high as it's been. This is very bad. And now it appears the party can't even count votes. What the hell am I supposed to think? I'll just say it this way. We have to beat Trump. And so far, I don't like what I see. And a lot of people I talk to feel the same way. I mean, this is just James Carville going off on the Democrats, going off, and it's delicious. He says, we just had an election in 2018. And we did great. We talked about everything we needed to talk about, and we won. And now it's like we're losing our damn mind. Someone's got to step up their game here. He said, in 2018, Democrats recruited really strong candidates, really qualified candidates, and the party said, this is what we're going to talk about, and we're going to keep talking about it. And you know what happened? We effing won. We didn't get distracted. We didn't get deflected. And now we have candidates on the debate stage talking about open borders and decriminalizing illegal immigration. They're talking about doing away with nuclear energy and fracking. You've got Bernie Sanders talking about letting criminals and terrorists vote from jail cells. It doesn't matter what you think about any of that, or if there are good arguments. Talking about that is not how you win a national election. It's not how you become a majoritarian party. He says, for F's sake, we got Trump at Davos talking about cutting Medicare, and no one in the party has the sense to plaster a picture of him there, sucking up to the global elites, talking about cutting taxes for them, while he's talking about cutting Medicare back home. He says, this is so obvious and easy, I don't see any of the candidates taking advantage of it. The Republicans have destroyed their party, says James Carville, but if anyone thinks they can't win, they're out of their damn mind. And then Carville goes directly at Sanders. He says, Bernie is not a Democrat. He's never been a Democrat. He's an ideologue, and I've been clear about this. If Bernie's the nominee, I'll vote for him. I'll take an ideological fanatic over a career criminal any day, but he's not a Democrat. He says Clinton won the popular vote by almost 3 million. Secondly, the Russians put Jill Stein in front of Clinton's campaign to depress votes. And thirdly, the New York Times, a week before the election, assured its readers the Russians weren't trying to help Trump, and they wrote 15,000 stories about Hillary's emails, but back to Sanders. What I'm saying is the Democratic Party is not Bernie, whatever you think about Bernie. He says Bernie might get 280 electoral votes and win the presidency, and maybe we keep the House, but there's no chance in hell we'll ever win the Senate, with Sanders at the top of the party defining it for the public. That's the deal, fair or not. As long as McConnell runs the Senate, it's game over. There's no chance we'll change the courts. Nothing will happen. McConnell will just be... Instead, Bernie will just be sitting up there screaming in the microphone about the revolution. This is James Carville accurately assessing the state of the Democratic Party. This is the purpose of a political party is to acquire power, all right? Without it, nothing matters. And then he explains how he thinks they can win. He says, we're a party of immigrants. We're a party of educated suburbanites, particularly women. It's the party of Latinos. It's the party of African Americans. Most of the people aren't into all this distracting bleep about open borders and letting prisoners vote. They don't care. They have lives to lead. They have kids. They have parents that are sick. That's what we have to talk about. That's what we should talk about. It's not that this stuff doesn't matter. And it's not that we shouldn't talk about race. We have to talk about race. But it's about how you deliver and frame the message. He says they've tacked off the damn radar screen too far to the left. And look, I don't consider myself moderate or centrist. I'm a liberal. But not everything has to be on the left-right continuum. He says, here's another stupid thing. Democrats talking about free college tuition or debt forgiveness. I'm not here to debate the idea. What I can tell you is people all over the country worked their way through school, sent their kids to school, paid off student loans. They don't want to hear this bleep. It's not a winning message. Again, this isn't me. This is James Carville analyzing this thing, and he is correct. He says, the real argument here is some people think there's a real yearning for a left-wing revolution in this country, and if we just appeal to the people who feel that, we'll grow and excite them and we'll win. But there's a word a lot of people hate that I love, politics. It means building coalitions to win elections. It means sometimes having to sit back and listen to what people think and framing your message accordingly. That's all I care about. And then he ripped into the media, just tore into the media. Again, James Carville accurately assessing the state of the Democratic Party, and oh boy, is it ugly. We'll get to that in 1 second. First, let's talk about the fact that socialism is becoming increasingly popular, particularly among Democrats, that Bernie Sanders, an octogenarian Marxist loonbag, is likely to win the Democratic nomination at this point. Well, now would be a good time for us all to stand up on our hind legs and rally against socialism. Here's an easy way to do it. Right now, join my friends over at FreedomWorks. FreedomWorks is pressuring Congress to support Senator Steve Daines' resolution condemning socialism in America. It's a good idea. Why? Well, it forces Democrats on the record to actually confront socialism in their own party. If you'd like to help this get passed, please text Ben, that's my name Ben, to 41490. Sign the petition today. Socialism is one of the worst things ever to happen to humanity. People who tell you that Nordic countries are socialist don't know what they are talking about. Socialism is Venezuela, it is Cuba, it is the USSR. It's all the places that Bernie Sanders honeymoons or sits there drinking shirtless and singing old commie songs. Those are the places we ought to worry about. And that is in the offing for America if we don't fight it. Right now, help prevent America from moving this far to the left, from going down the proverbial road to serfdom. Join FreedomWorks right now. Condemn socialism today by texting Ben to 41490. Sign their condemn socialism petition today. Again, that's text Ben, my name, to 41490. And so, meanwhile, again, back to James Carville. And I'm reading this because I think it's really important. James Carville is obviously speaking for an entire wing of the Democratic Party that is being left behind, and it's one of the reasons why Donald Trump is in really excellent position right now. He says, I want to give you an example of the problem here. A few weeks ago, Benjamin Applebaum, an economics writer for the New York Times, posted a snarky tweet about how LSU canceled classes for the national championship game. And then he said, do the Warren Sanders free public college proposals include LSU, or would it only apply to actual schools? You know how effing patronizing that is to people in the South or in the middle of the country? First, LSU has an unusually high graduation rate, but that's not the point. It's the bleep smugness. This is from a guy who lives in New York and serves on the Times editorial board, and there's not a single person he knows that doesn't pat him on the back for that kind of tweet. He's so effing smart. Applebaum doesn't speak for the Democratic Party, but he does represent the urbanist mindset. We can't win the Senate by looking down at people. The Democratic Party has to drive a narrative that doesn't give off vapors that we're smarter than everyone or culturally arrogant. He says, Warren knows her stuff. I'm particularly hard on her because she was the star pupil, the one who was smart, had a good story. But I think she gets distracted and loses her core anti-corruption message, which resonates. With a lot of these candidates, their consultants are telling them, if you doubt it, just go left. We got to get the nomination. And then Biden gets in and blocks out good candidates like Cory Booker or Michael Bennett or Steve Bullock by occupying this mainstream lane. There's just not enough oxygen. They couldn't get any traction. These are serious people, professional people. They could have delivered a winning message. James Carville said, I'm hoping someone gets knocked off their horse on the road to Damascus. And then he says, Mayor Pete. What about Mayor Pete? He says, Mayor Pete has to demonstrate over the course of a campaign he can excite and motivate arguably the most important constituents in the Democratic Party, African Americans. These voters are a hell of a lot more important than a bunch of 25-year-olds shouting everyone down on Twitter. So, James Carville accurately assessing the state of the Democratic Party. And he is right. And the panic is extending even to portions of the left that are warm toward this kind of nonsense. Michelle Goldberg, who's a big Elizabeth Warren fan, and tends toward Bernie Sanders socialism. She has a piece in the New York Times today titled, "The Harrowing Chaos of the Democratic Primary. Is it really going to be Bernie or bust for American democracy?" And she is freaking out. Freaking out. She says, "Bernie Sanders supporters have argued he can expand the electorate to make up for the suburban moderates he's likely to lose. Moderates who were incidentally responsible for many of the gains Democrats made in 2018. But while Sanders claimed a popular vote victory in Iowa, there was no surge in voter turnout since the last election. An NBC News entrance poll showed the number of first-time caucus goers actually went down. Sanders still has the advantage of energy and ardor. Young people are overwhelmingly on his side, and his campaign will be carried along by the same sort of ebullient cultural ferment as Barack Obama's. I tried to talk myself into believing that his passionate base combined with a polarized electorate will be enough. Still, with the survival of American democracy at stake," I do enjoy the Democrats saying that if Trump is reelected, then democracy is over and all this nonsense. He says, and she says, Michelle Goldberg, that she is worried that this is a wild gamble for Democrats to turn the fight against Trump into a referendum on democratic socialism at a time when Americans' personal economic satisfaction is at a record high. He says, Michelle Goldberg says, "I'm not the only one feeling panicked. The recent rush of mayoral endorsements from Michael Bloomberg is a function of all of this." I mean, this is a disaster for the Democrats. It really is. And they're seeing it coming, and they can't stop it. There's no one in the works who's going to rise up and stop Bernie Sanders. It ain't going to be Pete Buttigieg. I mean, if it is, I would be greatly shocked. Bernie's got basically a clear road to the nomination. And you can see the chaos, the panic is setting in. All Trump has to do is not defeat himself. Alrighty, coming up, I'm going to give you the latest on coronavirus, updated news. Plus, how did China blow it so badly? The answer is, China is an awful communist dictatorship that we've all been sort of looking the other way on for years. That has consequences. This is the Ben Shapiro Show.
Are you drowning in IRS tax debt?
I owe the IRS $37,000.
Get ready for a toll-free hotline. Take advantage of new IRS tax forgiveness programs that may protect you from IRS collection agencies. They have the power to garnish your wages, put liens on your property, and levy your bank account. Civic Tax Relief can help protect you from the IRS.
Civic Tax Relief basically represented me against the IRS, and by the time everything was completed, I didn't owe the IRS anything.
Find out about the Fresh Start program that is now available through Civic Tax Relief. Civic Tax Relief's special tax hotline can help you discover all the relief programs available for free.
I would recommend anyone who has a tax problem to contact Civic Tax Relief.
Just call 800-841-0908. 800-841-0908. Don't wait. Call now. 800-841-0908. 800-841-0908.
Hey, check out this report of our Office 365 email and the threats sitting in users' inboxes.
Wow, how did you get this?
There's a free tool called Barracuda Email Threat Scanner that can quickly and safely scan our Office 365 email for hidden threats like spear phishing and domain fraud.
Really?
Yeah, Barracuda Email Threat Scanner identifies hidden threats and employees most at risk for a cyber attack, all summarized in a complete report.
This is great.
Get your free email threat scan now at Barracuda.com. Barracuda, your journey secured.
Does your child have dreams? Some babies are born with SCID, a serious defect of the immune system. Fortunately, my daughter Lily was screened, diagnosed, treated, and cured. With newborn screening, Lily and every child can have a lifetime of dreams.
All newborns need to be screened for SCID. A simple test may save your baby's life. Jeffrey Modell Foundation, helping children reach for their dreams. To learn more, talk to your doctor or visit our website at info4pi.org.
Are you looking for senior care for your mom or dad but don't know where to start? Hi, I'm Joan London with A Place for Mom. Nobody knows your parent or loved one better than you, and nobody knows senior living better than the experts at A Place for Mom. It's a free service, and we've helped thousands of families find the right place for their mom or dad. There's a place for answers, A Place for Mom. Call today.
Call A Place for Mom at 1-800-391-1755. That's 1-800-391-1755.
If you owe over $10,000 in back taxes, you need a new start. Our New Start program will stop collection efforts, remove any liens the IRS has in place, and help you reduce your back taxes by as much as 80%. That's right, 80%. Call 1-800-312-9970. Let the professionals at Coast One Financial Group fight to get you the new start you deserve. If you owe at least $10,000 to the IRS and need a new start on your back taxes, call 1-800-312-9970.
So it turns out that, you know, it's a not great place to live, a communist country, which is weird because every time you hear from people like Bernie Sanders, he's talking about the wonderful things that are accomplishable if you have a one-party system run by people who truly care about equality. But here's the reality. China is a horrible place to live. The latest evidence that China is a horrible place to live, courtesy of the New York Times, the Chinese authorities resorted to increasingly extreme measures in Wuhan on Thursday to try to halt the spread of the deadly coronavirus, ordering house-to-house searches, rounding up the sick, and warehousing them in enormous quarantine centers. The urgent, seemingly improvised steps come amid a worsening humanitarian crisis in Wuhan, one exacerbated by tactics that have left the city of 11 million with a death rate from the coronavirus of 4.1% as of Thursday, staggeringly higher than the rest of the country's rate of 0.17%, with the sick being herded into makeshift quarantine camps with minimal medical care. A growing sense of abandonment and fear has taken hold in Wuhan, fueling the sense that the city and the surrounding province of Hubei are being sacrificed for the greater good of China. So they are literally herding people into quarantine centers where they have basically no medical care, and assuming that a lot of those people are just going to die because they don't have basic medical care. Well done, communism. Everybody was paying homage in the media to the fact that they built a hospital in 10 days. Look what they can do when they put their minds to it. Yes, and when you activate capitalism in that direction, you can do this stuff much faster and much better. But basically, this entire city has now been turned into a quarantine center because communists did not pass the information up the chain, because they did not make public the information, because they did not call for help for outside resources, and because they knew that in a pinch, they could always do something like this. The harsh new moves in Wuhan, the epicenter of the outbreak, clearly signaled the ruling Communist Party's alarm that it had failed to gain control of the coronavirus epidemic, which has overwhelmed the country's healthcare system and threatened to paralyze China, the world's most populous country and second largest economy. The steps were announced by the top official leading the country's response to the virus, Vice Premier Sun Chunlin, as she visited Wuhan on Thursday. They evoked images of the emergency measures taken to combat the 1918 Spanish flu pandemic that killed tens of millions of people worldwide. Despite the severity of the new measures, however, they offered no guarantee of success. Apparently, this looked like a military campaign, as Sun ordered medical workers to mobilize into round-the-clock shifts to visit each home in Wuhan, check the temperature of all residents, and interview close contacts of any infected patients. Word of the new restrictions arrived as the people of Wuhan received an emotional gut punch from the news that a doctor who had warned of the outbreak in December and was silenced by police for it had died from coronavirus infection. Right, this is the other story that tells you how garbage communism is. His name is Dr. Li Wenliang. He issued a warning about the strange new virus back in December. He was called up by the cops. He was arrested. He was silenced. Again, according to the New York Times, he was the doctor who tried to sound a warning that a troubled cluster of viral infections in a Chinese province could grow out of control and was then summoned for a middle-of-the-night reprimand over his candor. Because in China, first rule, protect the party. Never make the party look bad. Disease doesn't exist in China, just as poverty didn't exist in the Soviet Union. Right? Just as everything was working fine in the Soviet Union, breadlines are good. Everybody gets bread. Because the first priority is the protection of the party, and because the government can never be wrong, because the solution to all problems is the government, that means that if you point out a problem and you make it public, and you make it public that the government isn't doing anything about the problem, you are the problem. On Friday, this doctor, Li Wenliang, died after contracting the very illness he had told medical school classmates about in an online chat room, the coronavirus. He joined the more than 600 other Chinese who have died in the outbreak that has now spread across the globe. According to Wuhan Central City Hospital, Dr. Li had the misfortune to be infected during the fight against the novel coronavirus pneumonia epidemic, and all-out efforts to save him failed. We express our deep regret and condolences. In early January, he was called in by both medical officials and the cops and forced to sign a statement denouncing his warning as an unfounded and illegal rumor. Top-down systems of government control. Aren't they wonderful? He points out that there's a problem, and the first reaction is call him in and have the medical authorities shut him down. But they're scientists, guys. They're bureaucrats, scientific bureaucrats, and we should always trust them rather than people who are attempting to alert us to real danger. One commenter posted in reply to the hospital's announcement, "We will not forget the doctor who spoke up about an illness that was called rumor. What else can we do? The only thing is not to forget." Dr. Lee was 34. He was expecting a second child with his wife. He had been a relatively obscure ophthalmologist in Wuhan, the capital of Hubei province and the epicenter of the coronavirus. But in recent weeks, he became a potent icon for Chinese people angry that a viral outbreak had swelled unchecked into a full-blown crisis and that the doctor who had spoken out was initially punished. His death poses a singularly delicate issue for the Chinese government. Even as officials have battled the epidemic, they have also tried to stifle widespread criticism that they mismanaged their response to the initial outbreak in Wuhan, a city of 11 million. And in recent days, they have stepped up censorship again, which is always good news because lack of information for the general public when a pandemic is in the offing is always good for the world. After a rush of online criticism and investigative reports by emboldened Chinese journalists exposed missteps by officials who underestimated and underplayed the threat of the coronavirus. Dr. Li's death has also exposed a troubling aspect of the epidemic that goes unmentioned in official statistics, the number of doctors and nurses and medical workers infected by the virus. Some unverified pictures of what appear to be government data have indicated that hundreds of hospital workers may have been infected in Wuhan. And this would be a particularly grave example of the government failing these doctors and nurses if they knew that this coronavirus was particularly virulent. And if they knew how to protect their doctors and nurses in the first place and they didn't tell anybody, well, then those deaths are on their hands. Earlier in the outbreak, a prominent infectious disease expert said a single patient had infected 14 medical workers at one hospital. The median of patients is between 49 and 56, but Dr. Li was unusually young to be infected by this. He said on December 30th in a chat room that this resembled SARS. Not long after his reprimand, he was vindicated as thousands of Wuhan residents fell ill with fever and pneumonia symptoms. When the announcement came that he had died, many comments accused the authorities of having sought to prolong Dr. Li's life until deep into the night to show that to hide the news of his death. And China is a horrible country to live in. We try to pretend that they are not a horrible country because presumably we don't want to acknowledge that they are a nascent Soviet Union, just in a different part of the world. But as much as we try to pretend, they will be what they will be, and that country is a one-party dictatorship. The communism always a failure.
Every day, Doctors Without Borders teams confront hard facts and conflict in crisis zones. When others might look away, we step in to act. Because measles still kills more than 100,000 children every year. We're there to vaccinate over a million worldwide, including those affected by the current outbreak in Democratic Republic of Congo. Because half of all maternal deaths occur during delivery or within 24 hours. We've assisted more than 1.4 million births around the world, including care for new mothers in Afghanistan. Because some countries only have one or two mental health professionals, we offer counseling and clinical care, providing over 400,000 mental health consultations worldwide last year, including care for migrants and refugees on the dangerous journey north from Central America. The fact is, your acts of care and compassion make our life-saving work possible. Picture the impact we can have together. DoctorsWithoutBorders.org.
Are you looking for senior care for your mom or dad but don't know where to start? Hi, I'm Joan London with A Place for Mom. Nobody knows your parent or loved one better than you, and nobody knows senior living better than the experts at A Place for Mom. They've helped thousands of families find the right place for their mom or dad.
I was so glad that I called A Place for Mom. My advisor really listened and was truly my partner in finding senior care for my dad. She went out of her way to get to know him as a person and was always there whenever I had a question.
The senior living advisors at A Place for Mom partner with thousands of families every month, listening and offering local knowledge and advice to help find the best senior living communities across the country. And it's a free service. Here's the number.
Call A Place for Mom at 1-800-469-0286.
There's a place for answers, A Place for Mom. Call today.
Call A Place for Mom at 1-800-469-0286. That's 1-800-469-0286.
Attention all authors. Page Publishing is looking for authors. Have you written a book and want to get it published? Page Publishing will get your book into bookstores and for sale online at Amazon, Apple iTunes, and other outlets. They handle all aspects of the publishing process for you. Printing, cover art, publicity, copyright, and editing. Call 800-501-3689 now for your free author submission kit. That's 800-501-3689 for your free author submission kit. Again, 800-501-3689.
Are your tax problems keeping you up at night? Hi, Tax Owl here from the Coast One Tax Group. If you owe $10,000 or more to the IRS or state in back taxes, take 10 minutes and call Coast One Tax Group. It could save you 93% or more. Coast One Tax Group helps people all across America save big amounts of money. David from California saved $48,000 on back taxes. James and Lisa from Dallas saved $102,000. Call Coast One Tax Group now at 888-337-6949. A 10-minute call could save 93% or more. So who are you going to call? Coast One Tax Group, that's who. See how much you can save. The consultation is always free. What are you who waiting for? Relieve your tax stress today. Call Coast One Tax Group at 888-337-6949. That's 888-337-6949.
Individuals and businesses with tax problems, listen carefully. Do you feel like you're losing control of your finances? If you owe over $10,000 in back taxes or have unfiled tax returns, we can help you take back control. The IRS is the largest and most aggressive collection agency in the world, and they can seize your bank accounts, garnish your paycheck, close your business, and file criminal charges. Take control of your tax problem now by calling the experts at U.S. Tax Shield and take advantage of the Fresh Start program and new laws that may allow us to negotiate a settlement for the lowest amount possible. Our team of tax attorneys and enrolled agents can stop collections and get you protected so you can take control of your financial future. U.S. Tax Shield offers a price protection guaranteed quote to get you protected today. U.S. Tax Shield is A-plus rated with the Better Business Bureau, so call now. 800-785-9132. That's 800-785-9132. U.S. Tax Shield. 800-785-9132.
The most dangerous day for a newborn is her first day of life. Every 31 seconds, an infant dies from infections, pneumonia, malnutrition. But she doesn't have to die. For more than 60 years, Project Hope has been saving lives around the world, delivering medicines and supplies, giving newborns a healthy start, making sure her first day of life is not her last. Because everyone deserves hope. To volunteer or learn more about Project Hope, visit projecthope.org/newborns.
Welcome back. This is the Ben Shapiro Show. So complete chaos breaking out inside the Democratic Party. It's a circular firing squad at this point. You're going to see it on stage tonight. Big Democratic debate tonight. Joe Biden is apparently going to put on his boxing gloves and hobble over to Bernie Sanders, who will immediately clock him with a cup of pudding. And then Mayor Pete Buttigieg will simply try to get out of the way of the two old people fighting. Gramps and Gramps. So it's going to be amusing. It's going to be amusing. Buttigieg is in the crosshairs for Biden because Biden thinks that Buttigieg is stealing votes for him. Meanwhile, Bernie is in the crosshairs for both Biden and Buttigieg, presumably both of whom will hit Sanders for the fact that he is an old communist. It is wild out there. For President Trump's part, he was asked specifically whether he sees Pete Buttigieg as a threat. He said, listen, I see everybody as a threat because, hell, one of them is going to run against me.
Pete Buttigieg or Bernie Sanders, who's the bigger threat?
Well, you don't know what happened in Iowa, because if you look, I mean, they're essentially tied, but they couldn't keep tabulation of their votes.
Is Pete Buttigieg a threat? Do you see him as a threat?
Everybody's a threat. I view everybody as a threat. I even view John as a threat. You never know.
Obviously, President Trump in a very good mood about all of this. Why shouldn't he be in a good mood about all of this? He is likely to face up with an octogenarian socialist at this point, or the mayor of a town of 100,000 people in Indiana who got shellacked by Richard Murdoch in a statewide race. So that's not a bad place to be if you're the president of the United States, an incumbent. Meanwhile, Bernie Sanders is basically begging the media at this point not to attack him because he's gotten away with it for years, nobody asking him a serious question. So Sanders did an event and he's saying to the media, isn't it nice, members of the media, that I'm not attacking you? I'm not, you're not my enemy. I'm not treating you as, of course you're not treating them as an enemy. First of all, in communist countries, when you treat people as enemies, they die. Second of all, you're not treating them as an enemy because they are your friends, because they have supported you, and they continue to lie that you are only a Nordic socialist as opposed to, like, an actual socialist, because even the people of Norway do not consider that they live in a socialist nation. Now, here's Bernie Sanders. I mean, and by the way, you know who should know what socialism looks like? Members of a lot of the Norwegian and members of some of the Scandinavian countries who are occupied by the USSR, like Finland. Anyway, here is Bernie Sanders explaining to the media, you're not my enemy, so why don't you leave me alone and go attack Mayor Pete?
And also for the media, isn't it nice to go to an event where you're not considered to be an enemy of the people and you are shown some respect? But I don't want to overdo it.
I mean, isn't it great? I'm your friend now. Why won't you treat me nicely? And they have been treating him nicely, and they'll continue to treat him nicely. Bernie is, I mean, he is such a, he too is a panda bear. Listen to Bernie explain that he's become newly woke on the criminal justice system, which is interesting.
I did not fully appreciate, until I ran for president, to be honest with you, how corrupt and racist our criminal justice system is. Okay, I did not know. I mean, I'm a little embarrassed to tell you this, because maybe many of you knew it. Maybe some of you don't. That today in America, as we speak at this moment, there are 400,000 people behind bars right now who have not been convicted of anything.
You mean people who are currently in jail awaiting trial, would that be? Bernie Sanders? I mean, or who were not convicted because they plea bargain? Like, what exactly are you talking about there? And by the way, it is amazing that he's openly able to say that he only stumbled on the problem of criminal justice reform when he was running for office, almost as though he only became aware to it when it started to hurt him electorally. I mean, so nobody will tell a joke about Bernie. Everybody avoids jokes about Bernie. Good for Jimmy Fallon, who I guess is still on the outs after having had the temerity to rub Donald Trump's hair. Here's Jimmy Fallon attacking Bernie's wealth, which is a big no-no. We're only here to praise Bernie. We'll see what Stephen Colbert did to Mayor Pete over the last 48 hours. Here's Jimmy Fallon going after Bernie's wealth.
Yeah, the Iowa results are coming in, and Bernie Sanders is trailing Pete Buttigieg by less than 1%, which explains why all day Bernie was yelling, now I really hate the 1%. But things are going well for Bernie. In January, he raised $25 million. When he realized how rich he is, Bernie started running attack ads against himself.
Yeah, so mild poking at Bernie. Nothing else allowed. Nothing about him being, like, you know, a communist. Meanwhile, speaking of the media defending Democrats, my goodness. So Pete Buttigieg defended partial birth abortion the other day on The View, like full on defended it. So he's out with Meghan McCain. Meghan McCain asked him about partial birth abortion, meaning a baby is 35 weeks. Can you kill this baby in the womb? Now, I have a few opinions on this, considering that my wife is currently 36 weeks pregnant. So I have a few opinions on this, and I would have those opinions regardless of whether she were pregnant. A 36-week-old fetus is a baby. Okay, this is a baby now. I mean, you're talking about full viability outside the womb. Meghan McCain asked Mayor Pete about this, and he basically says that if anyone wants to kill a baby for any reason, well, it's their choice. I mean, this is wild, crazy stuff.
Does anybody seriously think that's what these cases are about?
Think
about the situation.
That, yes.
If this is a late-term situation, then by definition, it's one where a woman was expecting to carry the pregnancy to term. Then she gets the most, perhaps, devastating news of her life. We're talking about families that may have picked out a name, maybe assembling a crib, and they learn something excruciating and are faced with this terrible choice. And I don't know what to tell them morally about what they should do. I just know that I trust her, and her decision, medically or morally, isn't going to be any better because the government is commanding her to do it in a certain way.
I mean, this is bizarre world. I mean, he's actively arguing at this point that if somebody gets bad news about their child at any point, I mean, why should the period of pregnancy be the determinative outcome here? What if you have a baby, and the baby comes out, and then you realize the baby's out of the womb, and then you realize that the baby is Down syndrome? Is Mayor Pete all for the abortion? Like, why is it that the vaginal canal somehow magically confers personhood on human beings? I mean, this is madness, what he is suggesting right here. But good news, he's got CNN to cover up for him, so he's got Chris Cuomo out there saying, Buttigieg isn't extreme on abortion. No, he's not extreme. That's crazy.
It's a lie to say that Pete Buttigieg or anybody in the Democratic Party who's running for president wants to have abortion whenever you want it, at any time. Let's pull out the baby and let's look at it and then throw it in the garbage. You guys say this, and you say it for the ugliest of reasons. You know what the law is. You know you couldn't do that by law. The Supreme Court standard wouldn't allow it. You know what the viability standard is. You know no Democrat says that you should be able to get an abortion anytime before the kid goes to kindergarten. Why scare people like
okay,
that?
He's such a liar. He doesn't even understand how Roe versus Wade works. The viability standard in Roe versus Wade sets a baseline for when you are allowed to regulate abortion, meaning not that Roe versus Wade allows for a federal ban or forces a federal ban on partial birth abortion, but that you are not allowed to regulate abortion prior to viability, basically. That once it's viable, then you can determine whether or not there ought to be a law on the books. So Chris Cuomo is just getting the legal standard exactly backward because the man's got his head up his butt. But it's unbelievable. It's unbelievable to defend the Democrats on abortion by saying they don't want any abortion at any... That's literally in their platform. Any reason, any time up to point of birth. It's in their platform. Buttigieg defended it on national TV. Don't worry, the media are always there to defend Democrats. Always, always, always. However, I will say that you do have some motivated players inside the Democrat media. Stephen Colbert is very mad at Pete Buttigieg. He has on Pete Buttigieg. Colbert is a Bernieite, and so he really went after Buttigieg fairly hard, actually. Somebody needs to get Mayor Pete a jacket or something. He like Elizabeth Warren, has this uniform, sort of Howard Dean tie, but no jacket uniform. In any case, here is Stephen Colbert, who is kind of slamming Buttigieg in front of his face.
Let's talk about the wine cave. Okay, you got a lot of criticism.
Do we have
to? No, we have to talk about the wine cave.
Okay.
Do you understand why people might criticize that? Because there's, especially this year, there's a sense that we should not be beholden to special interests with huge amounts of money in order to influence candidates. We need a grassroots, broad coalition of people, and that turns some people off.
No, I understand the frustration, and I'm not a fan of the campaign finance system we have today.
Okay, so that is Colbert leveraging a direct attack on behalf of Bernie Sanders against Pete Buttigieg. So it's fascinating to watch. It is. It's fascinating to watch the circular firing squad. In a second, we'll get to Joe Biden, who's bashing both Bernie and Buttigieg and pointing out that Buttigieg is a non-entity politically until the last 5 minutes, and pointing out that Bernie is going to destroy the party down ballot. It's broken out, man. The war is on. It's on. And Michael Bloomberg's just over here spending money. He didn't care. We'll get to more of this in just 1 second. First, gang, if you haven't noticed already, 2020 is a crazy year. The election race is just getting started. We know you need to know everything from debate and primary updates to the latest nonsense from the Democratic candidates. The best way to stay informed is to become a Daily Wire member, get comprehensive news and opinion from us on demand. So we are giving you 20% off all new memberships. That's right, 20% off all new memberships when you use promo code DW2020. Members get our articles ad-free, access to all of our live broadcasts and show library, the full 3 hours of The Ben Shapiro Show, select bonus content, access to the mailbag, and now my magical election insight op-eds. Plus, our new all-access tier gets you into live online Q&A discussions with me and Klavan and Walsh and Michael Knowles. Plus, our site's writers and special guests let us answer your questions and help you stay one step ahead of the left. If you haven't already, go download the Daily Wire app so you can get push notifications for breaking news and special coverage. It is indeed a terrific feature. Again, that is promo code DW2020 for 20% off. Join today. Stay informed on all things 2020 related. Go over to dailywire.com and use promo code DW2020 for 20% off. Okay, so Joe Biden tonight, he's going to have to attack the other people on stage. He's sort of been hoping that his name was going to carry him through. It turns out that even the great halo of Obama isn't enough to cover up the death stench emanating from the Biden campaign. Here's Biden today saying, if Bernie's the nominee, guys, every single Dem is going to get hit with the socialist label, which, of course, is true.
We need a nominee who can help Democrats up and down the ticket, help them win to the ballot, bring back the United States Senate. But if Senator Sanders is a nominee for the party, every Democrat in America up and down the ballot, in blue states, red states, purple states, it's easy and easy districts and competitive ones, every Democrat will have to carry the label Senator Sanders has chosen for himself. He calls him, and I don't criticize him, he calls himself a Democratic Socialist. Well, we're already seeing what Donald Trump is going to do with that.
Yeah, and that exactly is accurate, but that ain't going to stop Bernie. You know what else is not going to stop Bernie, really? Mayor Pete and his platitudes. So here's the problem with Mayor Pete, in the end, is that he's a squish. Nobody knows exactly where he stands on any of these issues, and he refuses to answer tough questions. Right? He's not exactly moderate. He was asked basic questions about Israel the other day. He just refused to answer them straight out. Buttigieg is not a moderate, but he also isn't willing to campaign as a radical because he made the decision, it was a smart decision early on, that he was going to get into the moderate lane as opposed to in the left-leaning lane. He figured that Warren and Sanders were already occupying that left lane, so he could move into the moderate lane, and Biden was a paper tiger, and if he moved into that lane, he could do some serious damage. And now he's trying to squish his way through this thing. So Mayor Pete was actually just posting platitudes from his CNN debut the other day, or he posted a tweet of himself saying, "The shape of our democracy is the issue that affects every other issue." What in the F is that supposed to mean? I mean, what is it, like a hexagon? "The shape of our democracy is the issue that affects every other issue." Well then, I guess problem solved. What? I don't even know how to characterize that statement. And Barack Obama was famous for making ridiculous empty platitudes. That one takes the cake. That one is really, really solid. I mean, that is solid stuff. And Pete Buttigieg's campaign, by the way, is also really overproduced. In fact, Buttigieg was getting hit today because Pete Buttigieg's campaign actually inserted on his official Twitter account applause in a line that he had on CNN's town hall last night.
"It's a concern that calls on us to build an alliance among generations to try to make sure that the future really is better than the past. You don't get that by promising to turn back the clock. You get that by finding ways to make change work for us."
They cut off what he was saying in the middle of what he was saying. You can't see this. What this is two clips of Pete Buttigieg. They're the same clip. And the Team Pete team just inserted a bunch of applause as though this was some sort of three-camera sitcom. In the middle of that, he's so overproduced, and he is so slick, and he is so dishonest about what it is that he actually believes. And this is why Sanders is continuing to be a formidable front runner, despite the fact that he has very few actual supporters in absolute terms. Meanwhile, Aaron Blake at the Washington Post is saying, well, maybe Michael Bloomberg is going to take this thing. He says the results of the Iowa caucuses have fed speculation that former New York Mayor Mike Bloomberg might actually have a shot at the Democratic nomination. He wasn't on the ballot, but the results, with the Democratic Socialist senator and a young former mayor of a relatively small American city finishing in the top two, seems to have cracked the door ajar to a wild card, coupled out with the gut punch suffered by leading establishment candidate Joe Biden, and it's not unreasonable to think a lane could open for Bloomberg. So what exactly would have to happen here? Well, first, what happened in Iowa? Second, Trump's numbers are creeping up. Third, Biden is collapsing, which brings us to Super Tuesday. That's the first state on which Bloomberg will actually be on ballots, thanks to his late entry into the 2020 race and his unorthodox strategy of spurning the first four states. He's gambled he doesn't need momentum that candidates covet because nobody's going to have momentum. He's also betting that not even trying in those four states will help him avoid the kind of potentially negative narrative that Biden is confronting. So can he? Well, Super Tuesday is basically the big bet for Bloomberg. But right now, he is third in North Carolina at 14. He's fourth in Texas at 9. He's fourth in Utah at 10. He's making huge investments. So it is all a mess, all because the Democrats could not make the moral decision to throw Bernie Sanders and his socialism aside. They tried to live off his back, and now they're paying the price. The alligator is indeed eating them last. Already coming up, we're going to be having on Professor Tim Grossclose to discuss the University of California system dictating that all professors buy into nostrums about diversity. This is the Ben Shapiro Show.
Are you looking for senior care for your mom or dad but don't know where to start? Hi, I'm Jen London with A Place for Mom. Nobody knows your parent or loved one better than you, and nobody knows senior living better than the experts at A Place for Mom. They've helped thousands of families find the right place for their mom or dad.
I was so glad that I called A Place for Mom. My advisor really listened and was truly my partner in finding senior care for my dad. She went out of her way to get to know him as a person and was always there whenever I had a question.
The senior living advisors at A Place for Mom partner with thousands of families every month, listening and offering local knowledge and advice to help find the best senior living communities across the country. And it's a free service. Here's the number.
Call A Place for Mom at 1-800-469-0286.
There's a place for answers, A Place for Mom. Call today.
Call A Place for Mom at 1-800-469-0286. That's 1-800-469-0286.
Hey, have you heard that ransomware attacks have increased by 500% this year?
Yeah, cybercriminals are targeting all types of businesses, encrypting their data and holding it hostage unless they pay up.
What if we're their next victim?
Don't worry. We have Barracuda to detect, prevent, and recover from ransomware and other advanced threats.
So we're secured?
Absolutely. We'll pay no ransom and keep this business up and running.
That's a relief.
Protect your business at Barracuda.com. Barracuda, your journey secured.
Hi, I'm Danica Patrick. Watching my nieces grow, play, and learn is amazing, but not every child gets to be carefree. 1 in 6 kids in the U.S. are hungry. This breaks my heart, and it's something that Feeding America is working to change. Each year, the Feeding America network of food banks rescues billions of pounds of good food that would have gone to waste and gives it to families in need. To help, visit feedingamerica.org.
Brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
Individuals and businesses with tax problems. Listen carefully. If you owe over $10,000 in back taxes or have unfiled tax returns, U.S. Tax Shield can help you take back control. The IRS can seize your bank accounts, garnish your paycheck, close your business, and file criminal charges. Our team of tax attorneys can stop collections and get you protected. U.S. Tax Shield offers a price protection guaranteed quote to get you protected today. U.S. Tax Shield is A-plus rated with the BBB, so call 800-466-9625. U.S. Tax Shield, 800-466-9625.
Attention all authors. Page Publishing is looking for authors. Have you written a book and want to get it published? Page Publishing will get your book into bookstores and for sale online at Amazon, Apple iTunes, and other outlets. They handle all aspects of the publishing process for you. Printing, cover art, publicity, copyright, and editing. Call 800-501-3689 now for your free author submission kit. That's 800-501-3689 for your free author submission kit. Again, 800-501-3689.
Welcome back. You're listening to the Ben Shapiro Show. So there's this insane story out of Berkeley. According to Reason.com, the University of California has been requiring prospective faculty members to affirm that they support diversity, which is Orwellian on its own. But it now appears that at one campus, UC Berkeley, the diversity initiative goes much further than previously understood. Whether a candidate has proposed a specific concrete plan to advance diversity is now being used as a litmus test for some positions, and no candidate who fails the test can even be considered for employment. Joining us on the line to discuss is Dr. Tim Grossclos. He's professor of economics at George Mason University. He formerly held faculty appointments at UCLA, Caltech, Stanford, Ohio State, Harvard, and Carnegie Mellon, and he's the author of at least a couple of books, one titled Left Turn, How Liberal Media Bias Distorts the American Mind. Professor Grossclos, thanks so much for joining the show. Really appreciate it.
Ben, great to be here. Thank you.
So, obviously, you were inside the University of California system. You saw some of this stuff firsthand. What drives the insanity of the administration to suggest that professors have to come up with their own plans to increase what would supposedly be, I suppose, only ethnic diversity if they want to retain their jobs?
I left UCLA in 2014, so they didn't have these diversity statements when I was there, but you could see them coming. At the time, they required this of all department chairs, all deans, any hiring at that very senior level. And, basically at the UC system, it's diversity is everything. And I think it's coming, I think partly from the voters, I think partly from the donors, partly from the legislators in Sacramento, but there is an obsession for that. And then eventually, so this has been 5 years now, now it's required. Now, I don't know if it's all UC schools, but I know it's definitely UCLA. Also at Berkeley, I think something like 8 out of 10 of the campuses, all the faculty have to write one of these diversity statements if they want to be considered for a hire or even if they want to be considered for a raise or promotion.
I mean, this is absolute madness because obviously the sort of diversity they're talking about is not ideological diversity or even diversity of experience. It is simply ethnic diversity. So how, when confronted with the fact that ethnic diversity does not map directly onto diversity of experience or diversity of thought, how do folks respond? Do they just simply ignore that point?
You know, at the beginning, I think people did. I think they thought, well, look, this looks like just one factor among many. When I was at UCLA, when we were up for a promotion, we had to write a statement on our teaching, our research, and our service, basically our committee work. They've added a fourth thing, these diversity statements. Now, partly what's going on is we have Prop 209. You can't use race in hiring. Now, that's what they would like to do, so they have to use some sort of proxy, but they can't ask you directly for race. So instead, they ask you to describe what you've done for diversity. So it kind of skirts the law. And so meantime, it's very onerous that it's, you know, people are having to write these things when I think lots of them would just prefer, like, oh, just go ahead and use race. You know, don't make us go through this indirect route.
And Professor Grotzfuss, I mean, what's perfectly obvious also is when they're talking about ethnic diversity, they're not talking about all types of ethnic diversity, Asians in particular. If you say that you wish to reach out to Asian students at UCLA, that ain't going to help you one little bit. What they really mean is yeah. minorities like African Americans, Latinos, people who are considered yeah. underrepresented at the university. But if you're a member of the, you know, so-called model minority contingent, then obviously you don't matter at all. If you're Jewish, if you're Asian, that's not going to help you. Presumably, there's the hierarchy of intersectionality dictates.
Yeah. You know, and in fact, there's a professor at UCLA, Stephen Bainbridge, who's in the law school. He is challenging this. He wrote on his blog that he was going to write for his diversity statements that I'm part of a minority, basically saying I'm conservative. Now, it turns out, at least from another blog post I've read about professors at Berkeley doing it, the warning has gone out that ideological diversity won't cut it. That will not help you at all on these statements. We'll see what happens to Professor Bainbridge, though. But I think you're also right, though, that definitely being Asian, yeah, does not cut it. You have to be black or Latino. I think also if you're one of the other groups, gender diversity or LGBTQ, that also works.
Well, we're speaking with Professor Tim Grotzfuss, professor of economics at George Mason University and the holder of the Adam Smith Chair at the Mercatus Center. So final question, Professor Grotzfuss. One of the things you hear so often from folks on the left is that we should just ignore what happens on college campuses, that it simply doesn't matter, that when you see stories where professors are basically being forced out of jobs or forced to take oaths to particular statements about diversity, that's not something we should care about because this is a small contingent in American society. Why do you think Americans should care about what happens on college campuses?
I think it's a leading indicator. I think that what we're seeing now, at least in the Democratic primary, some of these issues, you know, about sexual preference, the gender and whether gender is a continuum. These things started on the campuses something like 10 years ago. So whatever you see on campuses makes its way to the Democratic Party. And then I think it's just a matter of time before it makes its way, I believe, to the general electorate.
Well, Professor Grotzfuss, really appreciate your time. Check out his two books, Left Turn, How Liberal Media Bias Distorts the American Mind and Cheating, an insider's report on the use of race in admissions at UCLA. Professor Grotzfuss, really appreciate it.
Thank you, Ben.
All right, folks. Well, we have reached the weekend, but remember, there's a big Democratic debate tonight, which you don't have to watch. Why don't you have to watch it? Because I'm going to summarize it for you next week anyway. So just take the weekend off, have yourself a good time. We'll be back here on Monday to recap it. This is the Ben Shapiro Show.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.
News this hour from townhall.com. I'm Gordon Griffin. Three key figures from the now-concluded impeachment have lost their White House position.
President Trump has immediately recalled Gordon Sondland from duties as ambassador to the European Union. Sondland had delivered controversial contested testimony during last fall's impeachment inquiry. Also removed from the White House is U.S. Army Lieutenant Colonel Alexander Vindman, who was escorted out of the White House complex now for Pentagon reassignment. Also reassigned out of the NSA to other duties is Alexander Vindman's twin brother, Yevgeny, also a lieutenant colonel whose office conducted ethics reviews of current and former NSC manuscripts, a role that came to light after New York Times story revealed manuscript details from a forthcoming book by John Bolton. George Bonzani reporting.
The death of a Chinese doctor who tried to warn about the coronavirus outbreak has sparked an unprecedented level of public anger and grief in China.
Of course, there's been an outpouring of sadness in the country, but for the Chinese leadership, this is an epic political disaster because it lays bare some of the worst aspects of their command and control system of governance under Xi Jinping. You know, people are wanting to know, how is it that someone who's just trying to tell the truth about a medical emergency is told to be quiet and stop spreading rumors.
BBC correspondent Stephen McDonald reporting from Beijing. Seven Democratic presidential candidates had sparred Friday night in a wide-ranging debate held in the pivotal days before the New Hampshire primary. Pete Buttigieg and Bernie Sanders come to Tuesday's first-in-the-nation primary following the disputed Iowa caucuses after a photo finish. Former Trump advisor and Salem Network talk host Dr. Sebastian Gorka.
Sadly, the Democrat Party at its head has become an object taken over by extremists.
More on these stories at townhall.com.
At Quicken Loans, our 17,000 team members know that home is so much more than a house. That's because our clients tell us all the time. Hey, this is Jay Farner, CEO of Quicken Loans, and we want to help you save money on your mortgage with some of the lowest refinancing rates ever. Rates are historically low. You may be able to reduce your rate and save money on your monthly mortgage payment right now. Pay off some credit card debt or put some money towards that new bathroom or kitchen you've always wanted. The rate today on our 30-year fixed-rate mortgage is 3.99%. APR 4.23%. That's right, 3.99%. While we can't predict what will happen in the future, we do know that rates have dropped and now is the time to save money on your mortgage. Call us today at 800-QUICKEN or go to rocketmortgage.com. To learn how refinancing now may be the right mortgage solution for you. That's 800-QUICKEN or go to rocketmortgage.com.
Rates subject to change. Pay 2% fee to receive this discounted rate. Call for cost information and conditions. Equal housing lender. License in all 50 states. And NMLS number 3030.
Six American oil executives under house arrest in Venezuela have been rounded up by police hours after President Trump met Venezuelan President Nicolas Maduro's chief opponent, Juan Guaido.
Former senior executive at Citgo, Alirio Zambrano, says the executives were abruptly taken from their homes last night by intelligence police. Zambrano, the brother of two of the six detained men, said their current whereabouts are unknown. Zambrano has said on social media he demands to know they are safe, adding that he's very worried about the detainees. The State Department and Maduro's government have yet to comment. I'm Charles de Ledesma.
Hyundai's recalling small cars because water can get into the anti-lock brake computer and cause an electrical short. The latest recall covers certain 2006 through 2011 Elantra and 2007 through 2011 Elantra touring vehicles. News and analysis at townhall.com. Officials say torrential rain across the east coast of Australia has extinguished a third of the fires in the region and could put more out.
It's a huge relief for firefighters who've been trying to contain these blazes for months now. The other reason why this is so exciting for people is that it has broken a continuous spell of drought. Some towns have been parched for nearly 2 years now, and this is a great change. There have been warnings of flash floods here in Sydney and in other cities in Queensland and in New South Wales. But as the fire season continues, many have been wishing for this kind of rain, and now they have lots of it.
That's BBC correspondent Shaime Khalil reporting from Sydney. For the first time, the U.S. government's Highway Safety Agency has approved the company's request to deploy a self-driving vehicle that doesn't need to meet the same federal safety standards for cars and trucks driven by humans. More on these stories at townhall.com.
They brought me to the final stages
of impeachment. But now we have that gorgeous word. I never thought a word would sound so good. It's called total acquittal.
Total acquittal.
Total acquittal. Technically, that's two words, but we'll let that slide because, you know, total acquittal is good enough, and it is a wonderful term. And the Democrats, I don't know, it might turn into Jonestown any day now. Wackadoodle-doo, DNC. How's that Iowa thing coming along? You figure that out yet? You bring in a team of Jethro Bodines to do your counting for you? Do your gazintas? Two gazinta four, four gazinta eight. Pete Boot Edge wins. Bernie loses. But that's the, it might have something to do with the fact that Pete Buttigieg was one of the investors in the brilliant Democrat Party Iowa app that was going to modernize everything. They modernized it all right. Right out of existence. I think they're going to have to modernize the app once again until they can no longer find it. We're at 888-630-9625. 888-630-9625 is the telephone number here. President Trump, of course, was on television yesterday for quite some time from the White House, and he was savoring every minute and taking advantage of the national television audience, and he was going to town. He went after 3 years, a little more now than 3 years, of pent-up frustration and the difficulty that the Democrats have provided over the course of the last 3 years because of their radical, insane fanaticism and their hatred of President Trump. Trump yesterday, I think, saw as an opportunity to vent a bit, to let off some steam and to let the Democrats know what he really thinks of them now that we're past all the votes on Capitol Hill having to do with the phony baloney impeachment. And the president just went to town and the Russia phony stuff and everything. He went down the list. He went after Pelosi. He went after James Comey. I love going after James Comey. He went after the FBI, you know, the corrupt part of the FBI, not the good part of the FBI. And it's just, of course, you know, as long as the FBI doesn't take care of the corrupt part, the FBI's got a problem, doesn't it? Yes, it does. But the president was just, boy, he was en fuego. And the audience was having a good time, and he went on for quite some time. It was a remarkable event, and the news media and the Democrats, but I repeat myself, just outraged by it. Now, tons of hilarious things happened yesterday, and honestly, I made a note to myself, and I want to share this with you going into today's humble broadcast. I wrote to myself, actually on the front of today's Washington Times newspaper, your newspaper of record in Washington, D.C. The headline is, Trump applauds friends, comma, vilifies foes. Foes, they're foes. I think that's fair enough. And I wrote a note, their rage is boring me. And honestly, you guys are so crazy, and you've been so crazy for so long, and you're so angry and so bitter, and you've been so angry and so bitter for so long, that we had to send in Trump to deal with you. And this is not because, this didn't start 3 years ago, this started 30 years ago. It started 40 years ago. This has been going on for a long time. You guys really don't get what's going on here at all, because you think you're getting your news from CNN and MSNBC and the Washington Post, but you're not, because they're corrupt institutions. Let's just say what it is. There it is. And this has been going on for so long that finally we mild-mannered, well, let's send Mitt Romney into the arena, people, said, well, we can't send sending Mitt Romney in is not getting the job done. Sending John McCain in is not getting the job done, all right? Even the Bushes, you know, nice people and all that. But that time has passed. Now it's time for somebody with brass knuckles and a chain, all right? Because we've had it with you people. And I know that Democrats have to be exhausted because the party asks so much of them. It asks that you be furious from the time you open your eyes in the morning until the time you go to sleep grinding your teeth at night, because you're so filled with rage and hatred and chasing Sarah Huckabee Sanders out of restaurants and attacking Tucker Carlson's front door and beating people up at UC Berkeley in mobs with masks on your faces because Ben Shapiro, a nice little man with a yarmulke, wants to give a speech about America being a good place to live. We've had it with you people. We've had it with Antifa and with Occupy and with Pelosi spitting at the ground and tearing up the thing. You know, you people are vile and repugnant, and we've had it with you. And don't tell me Donald Trump is, you know, the oh, look, now he's turned the place sour. You know, you got it backwards again, all right? Once again, you're wrong about everything. Everything you think to be true is false. Everything you think to be false is true. And the sooner you pull your heads out of one another's dark and remote locations, the better time we're going to have in the United States getting along with each other. And it'd be nice if you people would shut up to the point where you could spend Christmas with your family again, or Easter dinner with your family again, or Thanksgiving dinner with your family. But you guys have demolished all of that. So when President Trump came out yesterday, he wasn't just speaking for himself. He was speaking for millions and millions of us. And you people need to sit down and shut up and start behaving like civil neighbors, all right? Like taxpayers, like voters. We're theoretically in this together, but you won't allow that to be the case. So in the end, we had to send in Gort. We had to send in Mungo. We had to send in Donald John Trump, because none of the Republicans, other Republicans, are up to the task. But Donald Trump is certainly up to the task. And yesterday, he was venting. He was letting everyone know what he's been thinking over the course of the last months and maybe even years. And it was a tour de force. It was a lot of fun. And honestly, I'm just exhausted with you people, and I'm tired of you people. And, you know, you think Nancy Pelosi is civil? You think Chuck Schumer is civil? Then you don't know what the word civil means. You need to, honestly, you people have lost your command of the language, if you ever had a command of the language. It's well past time for you people to start behaving like adults, like our fellow Americans, where we may have some differences on policies and so on. But it's time for you people to start behaving like normal human beings. Your rage is boring. You are boring me. You're boring your own damn people. And they're impossible to bore because most of them are brain dead. But in Iowa, you're going to, oh, we're going to have record trend. Everything you say is going to happen tomorrow turns out to be the opposite. All right? The Iowa caucuses didn't have the biggest turnout in history. It had a lower turnout than 4 years ago. And I mean, everything is a lie. The polls are a lie. The news media, CNN, should just go to, like, the Indian head test pattern. They call you racist for saying that. And stop calling everybody racist. You're the people that lynched everybody, opposed the 13th Amendment and the 14th Amendment. You're the Jim Crow people. You just start acting like normal human beings, okay? I was thinking this morning of Nancy Pelosi and a group of her friends went to a restaurant, and the management came over and said, I'm sorry, but we're not going to serve you here. It would be national news for weeks and weeks. It's the end of civility, the beginning of a civil war. How can we live in a country like this? But, of course, no conservatives do that because we're normal people. Remember normal people? Remember, it was raining, and I walked out of my neighborhood, and I was going to one store. There's a drugstore. There's a grocery store. There are other stores. A taxi cab pulled up, and a woman, not a young woman, but not a very old woman, came out of the taxi cab, and she was struggling, and the cab driver helped her with a walker, and it was raining, and she had both of her hands on the walker, and the cab driver from, you know, another continent, I'm sure he's a nice person, just kind of waved her off in the pouring rain. And I was walking into the store, and I had my umbrella, and I turned around, I looked around to see if there's anybody around that was going to help this lady, or if the cab driver was going to help this lady. Nope. He just got in the cab and sped off. And I'm standing there, and here comes this lady. She's right at the curb now. And I kind of jogged over with my umbrella, asked which store she was going to, and I walked very, very slowly with her with my umbrella. This is not, I shouldn't be beatified or sainted for this. Listen to the rest of the story. Then I walked the woman 70 feet or something to the front door of the store she was going to under the protection of an umbrella. She didn't have a hat. She wasn't really dressed appropriately for the thing. She had her walker. And I walked very, very slowly and took a little while to the front of the store and walked her in the front of the store. And she said, she didn't say much, but at the end she said, thank you. That was very civilized. And I said, remember civilization? I miss civilization. And, then I was done, and I turned and walked away. But she thought it was really kind of shocking that someone would stop in the driving rain and put an umbrella over a woman with a walker who's having to go very slowly into a grocery store in the pouring rain. And I just got to say, I remember when that wasn't uncommon, and it wasn't that long ago. But I can tell you it wasn't conservatives that put an end to that kind of common decency. But common decency isn't very common anymore. And if you look at Nancy Pelosi and Chuck Schumer and the Democrats scorching the earth on our corrupt news media at CNN and elsewhere, scorching the earth around everything, just around everything, and you're a traitor, you're a Russian plant, you're an asset for Russia and Putin. I'm like, what? I'm a patriotic American. I'm none of those things. They're calling Tulsi Gabbard, a major in the U.S. Army, who's a Democrat congresswoman from Hawaii, served in Iraq, a combat tour, and they call her a Russian asset. Now, this is not civility. So don't lecture me when President Trump gets up and slaps you in the face a little bit. You know, you wimps, you whiny little rock-throwing hooligans. You deserve this and a whole lot more. Now, I'm just saying that as a sort of a lead-up to what President Trump said yesterday, because, you know, he's our guy. We had to send in this guy because you guys are incapable of having a civil conversation, if you know what I mean. And honestly, and I don't really want to see it happen, but if Pelosi and Schumer were told to get the hell out of my restaurant, watch the Democrats. They burn the city down because they'd get their street mobs out and there'd be violence. Speaking of which, I can't wait for the Democratic convention in Milwaukee. That's going to be more fun than we've had since 1968 in Chicago. They should get William Ayers and Bernadine Dorn back out into the street, little terrorist towheads that they are. You know, Barack Obama's neighbors. There's just some guy in the neighborhood. He launched his political career in their neighborhood, but never mind that. So President Trump yesterday out there, off the chain, big time, and it was great stuff. It was great stuff. Now, and I have plenty of audio for you from the president yesterday, and these whiny little fake media people had said, I can't believe he said this is a dictatorship. Oh, shut up and buy a dictionary. You people are so lame. I've had it with you. And honestly, at what point do they just become a complete bore? I think this, you know, now that we've got all this, they're going to start over again. They're going to set the house on fire again pretty soon. Fake Russian collusion. Everybody's a Russian agent, but they're not McCarthyites. No, everybody really is a Russian agent this time around, unlike last time when everybody really was a Russian agent. But never mind that. Elizabeth Warren is a racist. We know that. And her campaign lost all six women of color working for their campaign. I guess all six, because nobody says they have any women of color left. But, you know, WOC, women of color. It's very, you see, your gender and your race are the most important characteristics you bear. Being a human doesn't even come close to being, you know, black and female, because it's a victim thing. Elizabeth Warren has a team in Nevada, about 70 people. Six women of color have resigned in disgust in the last couple of months because of the toxic work environment that has been created there. And you're never going to believe who Elizabeth Warren blamed for six women of color quitting her campaign. It's really, it's classic. It's so faculty lounge. It's so classic Democrat. It's only from the minds of a lunatic Democrat could you come up with an explanation like this. It's great stuff. CNN, and I love this CNN. I should do the CNN fact check coming right up now. CNN fact check the president of the United States yesterday. They're such useless nubs. I got to tell you, I remember when it was at least trying to be a news organization. Now, I don't even know what the hell it is. But it's a cable channel, I guess. They've got a fact check out yesterday that is so mockable that they actually went back and changed, they altered, they revised, without telling anybody, their own fact check, because they're creepy and they're so dishonest that when they get caught lying, they do something creepy. I've got that coming up. The headlines from all the nutty cases. Iowa, what's going on in Iowa is hilarious, and it bodes well for the future of the United States. Not for the Democratic Party, but for the future of the United States. Bette Midler is insane. James Woods is back on Twitter. A crazy man on campus. I love this guy. And Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez is dumber than we thought.
You're listening to The Chris Plant Show.
Sponsored by Indeed, used by over 3 million businesses for hiring, where business owners and HR professionals can post job openings with screener questions, then sort, review, and communicate with candidates from an online dashboard. Learn more at Indeed.com/hire.
How often do you think about your socks? If you're like most people, probably not much. But I recently discovered socks that changed the way I'll think about socks forever. They're called Bombas. Bombas are the most comfortable socks in the history of feet. Made from premium cotton Bombas stay warm in the winter and cool in the summer. And every pair of Bombas comes with a built-in blister tab, innovative arch support, stay-up technology, and a seamless toe. With lots of colors, patterns, lengths, and styles, Bombas look great at the gym, in the office, or out in the town. Bombas are what feet daydream about. And for every purchase you make, Bombas donates a pair of socks to someone in need. So keep cool, keep comfortable, and keep contributing with the best socks in the history of feet, Bombas. Buy your Bombas at bombas.com/Chris today and get 20% off your first purchase. That's BOMBAS.com/Chris for 20% off your first purchase. Bombas.com/Chris.
Here's the thing. Saving money with GEICO is almost better than playing pickup basketball. Because there's always that guy who joins your game. He never passes the rock. He constantly bricks threes, and he'll completely hack you and then put his hands up and say, "No foul, no foul." With GEICO, it's easy to switch and save on car insurance. No need to fake an ankle sprain because you're absolutely exhausted. So switch and save with GEICO. It's almost better than sports.
Impact Mortgage Corp. DBA Cash Call Mortgage. NMLS ID 128231. Equal housing lender. Not licensed in all states, including New York. Offer not available in Washington. Call 855-657-9910 for licensing terms and restrictions.
You see it on TV every day. Global turmoil. But these international events help keep interest rates low and may even drive them lower. In response, we at Cash Call Mortgage have lowered our interest rates for the new year. And that's great news for homeowners. If you have a current rate above 2.99%, call us to see how much you can save. If you qualify, we'll even pay your closing costs. And we can close your refi in as fast as 20 days with no upfront deposit. With our low interest rates and no closing costs if you qualify, there's never been a better time to lock in a low rate before it's gone. For a free quote, go to cashcallmortgage.com or call 800-815-4952. That's 800-815-4952. 800-815-4952.
Sponsored by Indeed, used by over 3 million businesses for hiring, where business owners and HR professionals can post job openings with screener questions, then sort, review, and communicate with candidates from an online dashboard. Learn more at Indeed.com/hire.
Individuals and businesses with tax problems, listen carefully. If you owe over $10,000 in back taxes or have unfiled tax returns, U.S. Tax Shield can help you take back control. The IRS can seize your bank accounts, garnish your paycheck, close your business, and file criminal charges. Our team of tax attorneys can stop collections and get you protected. U.S. Tax Shield offers a price protection guaranteed quote to get you protected today. U.S. Tax Shield is A-plus rated with the BBB, so call 800-466-9625. U.S. Tax Shield, 800-466-9625.
Attention all authors. Page Publishing is looking for authors. Have you written a book and want to get it published? Page Publishing will get your book into bookstores and for sale online at Amazon, Apple iTunes, and other outlets. They handle all aspects of the publishing process for you. Printing, cover art, publicity, copyright, and editing. Call 800-501-3689 now for your free author submission kit. That's 800-501-3689 for your free author submission kit. Again, 800-501-3689.
Are you looking for senior care for your mom or dad but don't know where to start? Hi, I'm Jen London with A Place for Mom. Nobody knows your parent or loved one better than you, and nobody knows senior living better than the experts at A Place for Mom. It's a free service, and we've helped thousands of families find the right place for their mom or dad. There's a place for answers, A Place for Mom. Call today.
Call A Place for Mom at 1-800-391-1755. That's 1-800-391-1755.
Does your child have dreams? Some babies are born with SCID, a serious defect of the immune system. Fortunately, my daughter Lily was screened, diagnosed, treated, and cured. With newborn screening, Lily and every child can have a lifetime of dreams.
All newborns need to be screened for SCID. A simple test may save your baby's life. Jeffrey Modell Foundation, helping children reach for their dreams. To learn more, talk to your doctor or visit our website at info4pi.org.
All right, CNN's fact check, which was fake, so they altered it in an effort to make it real. And they still look like fools because it contradicts their own reporting. But we'll get into that. Great stuff. And I have the audio to back up. And this is about a lot of stuff, this little thing I want to get into. It sounds like a little thing, but it's not. It's about years of corruption under Obama. It's about the phony Russia scam and the fake dossier and the Mueller investigation. And mostly it's about a news media that is right out of the third world and so corrupt that they're probably irredeemable at this point. But we'll get into that. Let's go to an AOC. You got to hear this. It's hilarious. It is funnier than anything she's ever said. Let's go to Cheryl, calling from Haymarket, Virginia. Cheryl, you're on the Chris Plant Show.
Hi, Chris. Hey, hold on. I got to see. Am I on speaker? I'm on speaker. Okay. Hey, I love your perspicacity. I love your insight. And just every day I listen to you, I can't get through my day without you.
Why, thank you.
But your first opening monologue, that was brilliant. That was just absolutely brilliant.
We've had
that's
it.
That's all I wanted to say. Thank you.
Well,
for
that's not. Yeah, can't be all you have to say. That can't be all.
Well, it is. It really is. That's all I called to say was thank you, and I agree with you completely on that.
Well, we're just tired of this. First of all, we're tired of the double standard, aren't we?
Yes, we are.
We're tired.
I stopped adulting to call you.
You did what?
I stopped adulting. I was vacuuming on my floors and cleaning and dusting. Being an adult, you know?
Yeah, adulting. Yeah, they've got a class in adulting now at UC Berkeley. So they teach how to get out of bed in the morning and things like that.
Right.
Shower, maybe. Yeah, I mean, look, we just want to be nice people and live next door to our neighbors. We don't care how they vote. And if they don't vote the same way, that's fine. But you keep coming over and ripping things up on our front lawns and vandalizing our cars and yelling in people's faces. And got this guy, college boy, screaming about slashing throats and because he's angry with Republicans. I can't wait to get into that. That's a great one. I've got a lot to say about that. I don't even think it's the kid's fault. I know who to blame. But I'm going to get into that stuff. The lack of civility is not being driven by, didn't start with Donald Trump. It's not, Cheryl dropped off. Thanks, Cheryl. It didn't start with Donald Trump. Donald Trump didn't do this. You guys did this. And you've been doing it for years. And again, we keep sending mittens in who just wants to get along. And you guys depend on us being nice. And you know, the news media, it's a reasonable point of view for a reasonable accommodation for a Republican member of Congress to make is to adopt the Democrat Party's position. That's what the media says.
This is the Chris Plant Show.
Adopt U.S. Kids presents What to Expect When You're Expecting. A teenager. Learning the lingo.
Today I'm going to help parents translate teen slang. Now, when a teen says something is on fleek, it's exactly like saying, that's rad. It simply means that something is awesome or cool. Another one is totes. It's exactly like saying, totally, just shorter. As in, I totes love going to the mall with Becca. Another word you might hear is jelly. Jelly is a shorter, better way to say jealous. As in, Chloe, I am like so jelly of your unicorn phone case.
You don't have to speak teen to be a perfect parent. Thousands of teens in foster care will think you're, rad just the same. To learn more, visit AdoptUSKids.org. A public service announcement brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, AdoptUSKids, and the Ad Council.
Are you drowning in IRS tax debt?
Get ready for a toll-free hotline. Take advantage of new IRS tax forgiveness programs. Call Civic Tax Relief for free information now. Find out about the Fresh Start program that is now available through Civic Tax Relief. Civic Tax Relief's special tax hotline can help you discover all the relief programs you qualify for free. Just call 800-841-0908. 800-841-0908. 800-841-0908.
Whenever it rains, it's hard not to think about the folks right here in our community who have no roofs over their heads. Wouldn't it be nice to give them a dry place to sleep tonight? Or a warm cup of soup? Or just a simple umbrella? Well, you can by giving to the Salvation Army, where every donation fights for good. Visit givewestwoodone.org. That's GIVEWESTWOODONE.org to help fund programs that provide shelter, food, and hope to our neighbors most in need.
Are your tax problems keeping you up at night? Hi, Tax Owl here from the Coast One Tax Group. If you owe $10,000 or more to the IRS or state in back taxes, take 10 minutes and call Coast One Tax Group. It could save you 93% or more. Coast One Tax Group helps people all across America save big amounts of money. David from California saved $48,000 on back taxes. James and Lisa from Dallas saved $102,000. Call Coast One Tax Group now at 888-337-6949. A 10-minute call could save 93% or more. So who are you going to call? Coast One Tax Group, that's who. See how much you can save. The consultation is always free. What are you who waiting for? Relieve your tax stress today. Call Coast One Tax Group at 888-337-6949. That's 888-337-6949.
Hey, have you heard that ransomware attacks have increased by 500% this year?
Yeah, cybercriminals are targeting all types of businesses, encrypting their data and holding it hostage unless they pay up.
What if we're their next victim?
Don't worry. We have Barracuda to detect, prevent, and recover from ransomware and other advanced threats.
So we're secured?
Absolutely. We'll pay no ransom and keep this business up and running.
That's a relief.
Protect your business at Barracuda.com. Barracuda, your journey secured.
Are you looking for senior care for your mom or dad but don't know where to start? Hi, I'm Jen London with A Place for Mom. Nobody knows your parent or loved one better than you, and nobody knows senior living better than the experts at A Place for Mom. They've helped thousands of families find the right place for their mom or dad.
I was so glad that I called A Place for Mom. My advisor really listened and was truly my partner in finding senior care for my dad. She went out of her way to get to know him as a person and was always there whenever I had a question.
The senior living advisors at A Place for Mom partner with thousands of families every month, listening and offering local knowledge and advice to help find the best senior living communities across the country. And it's a free service. Here's the number.
Call A Place for Mom at 1-800-469-0286.
There's a place for answers. A Place for Mom. Call today.
Call A Place for Mom at 1-800-469-0286. That's 1-800-469-0286.
Attention all authors. Page Publishing is looking for authors. Have you written a book and want to get it published? Page Publishing will get your book into bookstores and for sale online at Amazon, Apple iTunes, and other outlets. They handle all aspects of the publishing process for you. Printing, cover art, publicity, copyright, and editing. Call 800-501-3689 now for your free author submission kit. That's 800-501-3689 for your free author submission kit. Again, 800-501-3689.
All right. A mountain of crazy today. Courtesy of Nancy Pelosi and her party. Their followers. I love the Iowa story. It's great. Apparently they finally, what is it, Friday? Now we have 100% of the vote and they still don't know who won and it's being challenged. And even the Associated Press and CNN don't believe the final count and they're saying so out loud. And the the victory for Pete Buttigieg, who was not projected to win. So once again, the polls were wrong. And Bernie, who came in second, was projected to win, so once again the polls are wrong. Pete Buttigieg is allegedly edging out, see a little, you got to edge thing, Bernie Sanders by 0.09 percentage points, okay, which is well within the margin of error of pretty much any poll, survey, election that you're going to find anywhere. But nobody has any faith or confidence in what the Democrats have done with their corrupt app, with their Robbie Mook guy. See, Robbie Mook denying he's got anything to do with it, but apparently the denial is BS. It's extraordinary, depending on whose reporting you're looking at there. But it is lots of Iowa. I'm going to get into Iowa. It's a lot of fun. It's a lot of laughs. There are, here's a, well, I'll save this for James Comey. Because, well, I guess we can go to James Comey now. This is funny. This is a funny insult, and it's not intended to be an insult, but it is a funny insult, which insults James Comey and Loretta Lynch, Barack Obama's invisible attorney general. But is she in the witness protection program? She moved to Ukraine or something? She have a job on a board there? Great headline from The Hill, Marty Johnson writing, William Barr, you know, our attorney general, William Barr directs FBI to get his approval before investigating 2020 presidential candidates. Seems like a good idea. Why would you need to? What kind of a banana boat country is this? Anyway, amazing. Just remarkable. Attorney General William Barr on Wednesday reportedly released a new set of restrictions covering FBI investigations of political candidates. Really? What did we get this idea from Ukraine? Where did this come from? The memo obtained by the New York Times stated that the Department of Justice has the responsibility to make sure that elections are free from improper activity or influences. Barr's orders come after Justice Department Inspector General Michael Horowitz found the FBI's investigation into President Trump's former campaign aide Carter Page, they misspelled Page, was ridden with errors and falsified information. Why would that be an issue? Let the Obama administration falsified documents and altered documents so they could spy on the Trump campaign. And the news media is treating that like it's an everyday thing, like it's no big deal, like we're Cuba, like we're a banana republic. It's okay. That was a one-day story. It's just like it's a non-thing. Oh, they altered documents so they could spy on the opposing party's presidential campaign. CNN thinks that's not even a news item. They're not even on that. All right. So this is funny in its own special way. I certainly hope that the FBI hadn't taken to investigating Democrats this year without the approval of anyone, because that would be a rogue law enforcement agency, you see. And that's what we had under Barack Obama, unless it wasn't a rogue law enforcement agency, which is the only other possibility. And if it wasn't rogue, I assume the FBI director wasn't investigating multiple members of the opposing party's presidential nominee without the approval of the attorney general. And I think that the attorney general might have mentioned it to the president of the United States. But CNN doesn't think so. They think that that's a debunked conspiracy theory because they hadn't thought of it yet and hadn't heard about it yet because they don't listen to conservative talk radio or Fox News. They don't know where to find Fox News on their dial. So in any case, according to the phony, baloney, corrupt Democrat Party vehicle getting leaks from corrupt government insiders all the time, the New York Times, William Barr is the first attorney general to impose such guidelines. Well, it never had to be done before you crooks in the Obama administration corrupted the FBI and the Justice Department and the FISA courts and the CIA. Though past attorneys general have advised the FBI to use the utmost sensitivity, apparently not the Obama administration, when it comes to political investigations. So there it is. Thanks for updating us on that. Now let's go to, since that really reflects terribly negatively on Comey, who corruptly and very, very corruptly, altering documents and so on, investigated the opposing party's presidential campaigns in an effort to prove something based on Hillary Clinton, the Democratic nominee's opposition research, which was all entirely untrue, but the greatest investigative body in the world was unable to establish that before they corrupted our system of government, our election. Comey had more influence. He corrupted the election more than Putin, between his Hillary press conference and corrupt investigations altering documents to spy on Trump's campaign. It's electronic surveillance. No, it's spying. Electronic surveillance is spying. Buy a thesaurus. Read it. Ask someone to explain it to you. All right? I really had it with this semantic kabuki. But in any event, let's get back to CNN because they're such a good news organization. This is great. And it was Mike Chernovich on Twitter that drew this to our attention. CNN had a fact check because the president yesterday talked about Comey leaking, right? And he did leak. We know that Comey leaked, but the president mentioned it yesterday.
I'll tell you, Chuck Grassley, he's looking at Comey. Well, you tell me, what did you say? Now, he wasn't being rough. That was just the way he talked. And that was when Comey, I think that was when Comey announced that he was leaking, lying, and everything else, right? He choked because he never heard anybody talk like that.
That was the president yesterday. Now, just for a, no, he's talking about Comey leaking. He's talking about Comey leaking there, right? Now, CNN is telling us that Comey never leaked anything. So we thought we'd share a little audio that was video on CNN of Comey. Where does it begin, Michael? I'm sorry. 14. Soundbite number 14. James Comey speaking to Chuck Grassley, May 3rd, 2017.
Director Comey, have you ever been an anonymous source in news reports about matters relating to the Trump investigation or the Clinton investigation?
Never.
Have you ever authorized someone else at the FBI to be an anonymous source in news reports about the Trump investigation or the Clinton investigation?
No.
Hinges on the a portion of the phrase at the FBI, right? Because this is, I mean, again, he's clearly an anti-Trump. He's a Democrat. I don't care what anybody says. And that means that when you're talking to him, you know, it depends on what the meaning of the word is. And with him, it depends on what the meaning of the word leak is. Comey, June 8th of last year, saying he didn't leak, but he did.
I asked a friend of mine to share the content of the memo with a reporter. Didn't do it myself for a variety of reasons, but I asked him to because I thought that might prompt the appointment of a special counsel.
So he shared a memo. Now, the memo was about the FBI director, that was him, briefing in a classified setting the president-elect of the United States on subjects including an ongoing counterintelligence operation which was being conducted against him. Although he didn't fill him in on that, he just enlightened him as to the contents of Hillary Clinton's opposition research, which we euphemistically and generously refer to as the dossier. That's a dressed-up French word for a street hooker, all right? And the dossier was what Comey corruptly misrepresented to the FISA courts in order to get warrants to spy on Carter Page. They also altered other documents at the FBI in order to spy on Carter Page, to lie to the FISA courts, to mislead the FISA courts, so they could turn our country into a banana republic. And that's what he did. He went and he briefed the press. He asked all the other intel weenies to leave. And they're not normally weenies, but this crop of them are. Asked him to leave the room so he could brief the president-elect, Trump, on the Clinton dossier. But he didn't tell President Trump that it was Clinton's opposition research. He said, this is making the rounds. Then he gave the high sign to his buddy and sent a memo, which he says is like from his diary. Like he's the guitarist with Bread, and he found his diary underneath the tree and started reading about him. And he sent this memo about his classified briefing FBI director, which he wrote up on an FBI computer, which you and I own, in the back of an FBI armored SUV, Chevy Suburban, which we bought before he got on a Gulfstream jet, which we bought so he could come back to FBI headquarters. And he thinks that this was like diary time or something. This is he's writing notes to friends. It's Valentine's Day. And it's almost unbelievable that he says this is not a leak, but with a straight face, he says this is not a leak. I know it's a leak. He knows it's a leak. The memo that he speaks of was born classified, as they say in Washington, the moment that he wrote it as FBI director about his briefing of the president-elect on classified matters. That was a classified memo the moment he typed it into the FBI computer. All right? He knows that, so he's a liar. Here he is with his pal Manderson Pooper.
You did leak memos. I mean, is it okay for
somebody at the FBI to leak something, an internal document, even if it's not classified? Isn't that leaking?
It is classified.
There's a whole lot wrong with your question, Anderson. First, I didn't leak memos. I asked a friend to communicate the substance of one unclassified memo.
Whether you,
can
you
I finish
know,
for a second?
Sure, okay.
One unclassified
I'm
memo
sorry.
To the media, and I was really important. I was a private citizen.
You were not a private citizen. You were not in that room as a private citizen. You weren't briefing the president-elect as a private citizen. You were the FBI director. You're a government employee with classified briefing, which is why you asked all the other guys to leave. And you told them about the, Russian golden showers and all that stuff. And then you leaked it in an effort, as he explained, to secure a special counsel to sabotage the president of the United States. Now, we all got that clear? I think we're all clear on that. So yesterday, with all of that as prologue, and the president yesterday talked about Comey leaking, CNN jumped in with their fact check from CNN Politics. And it is CNN Politics. It's politics. At CNN, and they're Democrats, all right? And they're just as cutthroat as Nancy Pelosi. Fact check is their headline, : President Trump falsely claims former FBI director James Comey admitted to leaking. Okay. Falsely claims that Comey admitted to leaking. Well, Comey did admit to leaking. He just says that it's not a leak. But at CNN, you know better than that. Because, you see, what this prompted, he deliberately set into motion a series of events. The series of events were he leaked his classified memo, which he says is not classified, to his buddy, which he says is not a leak, with instructions to give it to the New York Times, the contents, the essence of the so-called memo, which he thinks is from his diary but isn't, to give it to the New York Times. At the same time, CNN was getting the nod because the Daily Beast had reported on and published the dossier. But CNN was waiting for some sort of a cue from the government to go with it themselves. And as soon as they saw the New York Times, they were also getting a back channel nod themselves from Comey's people that they could go with the dossier, which they knew was full of falsehoods and was Hillary Clinton's opposition research. But Comey was sabotaging the president. We know that now. It's unambiguous. It's clear. So CNN fact checks. Trump falsely claims former FBI Director James Comey admitted to leaking. Mike Chernovich went back in time to June 8th of 2017 to CNN's own website. And CNN's own website, the headline is, James Comey hoped leak would lead to special counsel on Russia. Now, how can CNN, you might ask, be so completely and utterly inept? But wait, it gets better. Because when it was pointed out that their headline, President Trump falsely claims former FBI Director James Comey admitted leaking, when it was pointed out that they had reported that he leaked, they went and they changed the headline. They changed the headline to, Trump falsely claims Comey admitted to leaking to Grassley. Now, that, first of all, that's ambiguous. But you mean the leak was to Grassley or the admission was to Grassley? So they're trying to dig themselves out of their phony fact check. It's a corrupt fact check. It's completely fake. And then they added several paragraphs at the end trying to cover their tracks. They're not a news organization. They're an agent of the Democrat Party. And they're an embarrassment to Western civilization. Since the Magna Carta, we've all expected better than what CNN delivers. And that was before cable television for Bernie supporters out there who aren't real familiar with the all the good stuff.
I always thought of it as mine, like a diary.
I found your diary underneath the tree and started reading about prostitutes in Moscow peeing in beds. Yeah, it's not your diary. You're the FBI director briefing the president-elect in a classified setting. That ain't your diary, Skippy. I don't know. I shouldn't have to be the one to explain that to you. But it depends on what the meaning of the word leak is. These are very dishonest people, and they lie very comfortably. Under oath, often. James Clapper lied under oath. Comey lied under oath. At least arguably lied under oath right there. And he lied under oath at another place. Clearly, more unambiguously. All right, now you have the crazy college student guy, the guy you have. Where is he in our wonderful catchy? All right, let's go to that. Here's a great one from Students for Trump at ASU, that's Arizona State University. For Bernie supporters, that's in the state of Arizona, which is in the southwestern United States of America, near the border. That's the, as long as we still have one. Now, this is great. The Students for Trump at ASU set up a banquet table, you know, a 6 foot with the folding legs banquet table, and they draped it with Trump things. And there were some nice citizens there. And this has the nice lady at the end included, right? Because there are probably three, you know, Trump students there at the table. And the tweet from the Students for Trump at ASU, they wrote, "Crazy leftists on college campus watch as a tolerant leftist." Well, I'll let you listen along as we go. But this is a perfectly kind of typical, look at the time, perfectly typical student at ASU and on campuses across America.
Blast it, Trump! Every Republican!
Say that.
Suck my
Say that one more time.
Blast Republican Trump! Blast fascist Trump! Death to fascism!
Have a good one. See, he's shouting, slash their throats, slash the fascist throats, slash their throats. All, what are you shouting, like all Republicans, all fascist, death to fascist. And the Trump people are kind of smiling, watching this mental case walk by, screaming about decapitating people. They're like ISIS, slash their throats of Donald Trump and every Republican. Slash their throat. He's screaming. He's obviously a little bit unstable. And the nice lady said, "What? Have a nice day? Have a good one," she says.
Have a good one.
You're listening to The Chris Plant Show.
For my 17th birthday, I lost my sister and mom to cancer, and then I got it too. Thanks to my children's hospital, I'm cancer-free and I'm studying to become a pediatric oncology nurse. Put your money where the miracles are. Give to your Children's Miracle Network Hospital.
Liberty Mutual Insurance Company helps you customize your home insurance so you only pay for what you need. Unlike things you paid for you didn't need, like the Vacnado 2000. A Wi-Fi-connected vacuum that uploads Dust Bunny data to the cloud for real-time optimization. Whatever that means. But really, it's just a very expensive doggy chew toy. With Liberty Mutual, get customized home insurance so you only pay for what you need.
Liberty, 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 Liberty.
Only pay for what you need at libertymutual.com.
Here are three things about Vistaprint business cards. Which do you think is true? One, our business cards are now edible. Two, our business cards now come with sound effects. Three, our business cards now ship for free. Yep, it's three. All Vistaprint business cards now ship free. And that goes for any style and quantity. You pick the style, the shape, and the paper. The result is a card you're proud to hand out. So visit Vistaprint.com for free shipping on all business cards in any style and any quantity. Just use promo code 3939. That's Vistaprint.com, promo code 3939.
Today on Hey Culligan, better water, better food. Here's Gary in Chicago.
Hey Culligan, my water smells like a swimming pool, and my hot dog tastes like one.
Sounds like your water comes with a little chlorine.
Chlorine!
You know, you could get a great for cooking water, delicious for drinking water Culligan reverse osmosis system.
Yeah, I'll take one of those and two, three more hot dogs.
No can do on the dogs, Gare, but one Culligan reverse osmosis system already on the way. Let us help you out with a free in-home water test with a local Culligan water expert at HeyCulligan.com.
I was 9 when I lost my leg to cancer, but thanks to my children's hospital, I beat the odds. Today, I'm a Paralympian and play on the U.S. amputee soccer team. Put your money where the miracles are. Give to your Children's Miracle Network Hospital.
Individuals and businesses with tax problems, listen carefully. If you owe over $10,000 in back taxes or have unfiled tax returns, U.S. Tax Shield can help you take back control. The IRS can seize your bank accounts, garnish your paycheck, close your business, and file criminal charges. Our team of tax attorneys can stop collections and get you protected. U.S. Tax Shield offers a price protection guaranteed quote to get you protected today. U.S. Tax Shield is A-plus rated with the BBB, so call 800-466-9625. U.S. Tax Shield, 800-466-9625.
Attention all authors. Page Publishing is looking for authors. Have you written a book and want to get it published? Page Publishing will get your book into bookstores and for sale online at Amazon, Apple iTunes, and other outlets. They handle all aspects of the publishing process for you. Printing, cover art, publicity, copyright, and editing. Call 800-501-3689 now for your free author submission kit. That's 800-501-3689 for your free author submission kit. Again, 800-501-3689.
Are you looking for senior care for your mom or dad but don't know where to start? Hi, I'm Joan London with A Place for Mom. Nobody knows your parent or loved one better than you, and nobody knows senior living better than the experts at A Place for Mom. They've helped thousands of families find the right place for their mom or dad.
I was so glad that I called A Place for Mom. My advisor really listened and was truly my partner in finding senior care for my dad. She went out of her way to get to know him as a person and was always there whenever I had a question.
The senior living advisors at A Place for Mom partner with thousands of families every month, listening and offering local knowledge and advice to help find the best senior living communities across the country. And it's a free service. Here's the number.
Call A Place for Mom at 1-800-469-0286.
There's a place for answers, A Place for Mom. Call today.
Call A Place for Mom at 1-800-469-0286. That's 1-800-469-0286.
The most dangerous day for a newborn is her first day of life. Every 31 seconds, an infant dies from infections, pneumonia, malnutrition. But she doesn't have to die. For more than 60 years, Project Hope has been saving lives around the world, delivering medicines and supplies, giving newborns a healthy start, making sure her first day of life is not her last, because everyone deserves hope. To volunteer or learn more about Project Hope, visit projecthope.org/newborns.
If you owe over $10,000 in back taxes, you need a new start. Our New Start program will stop collection efforts, remove any liens the IRS has in place, and help you reduce your back taxes by as much as 80%. That's right, 80%. Call 1-800-312-9970. Let the professionals at Coast One Financial Group fight to get you the new start you deserve. If you owe at least $10,000 to the IRS and need a new start on your back taxes, call 1-800-312-9970.
Circle back to that streaming guy with the throat slashing, and because I got a couple of things to say about that guy. I think we probably don't have time to do a caller justice, do we? No, I don't think we do. We have wonderful callers on the line who want to say great things, but we're a little pinched on time. I don't want to give you seconds. I want to give you more time than that. I've got great economic news just around the corner here, and it is just remarkable, and it's not being reported. You're not going to find it in the Washington Post. CNN isn't going to talk about it. But the economic news in the United States of America under President Trump and the Trump administration is just amazing. And if it were Obama or any Democrat, CNN would be dancing around a maypole in thongs, decorating the newsrooms and high-fiving one another, and they'd be gushing with enthusiasm, and the country would never have been better off. But instead, you know, it wasn't Obama, and it's not Hillary, because she's not the president of the United States, and she's never going to be. There was a funny tweet yesterday. Hillary was gloating about President Trump and the impeachment, and somebody tweeted back at her, well, one thing's for sure, you'll never be impeached. See, because, for Democrats, because you have to be president before you can be impeached, and she never will be.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.